This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Oh, 1 to Mesoraco. Swinging a high fly ball. Well hit left center. Looks like it'll stay in the park. Over comes the center fielder in Ciarte. He makes the catch, and the ball game is over. So the Braves take the opener of this quick two-game series. Final score, the Atlanta Braves 8 and the New York Mets 2.
Germany obviously the favorites going in because they won the 2014 World Cup in Brazil when they trashed Brazil, by the way, 7-1. Germany's backbone is Bayern Munich. It's Boateng. It's Hummels. It's Müller. To me, the big thing for Jogi Löw, which has been an incredible coach with this team of Germany, is who is their number 9?
I've missed playing the U.S. Open. Our nation's title, it's meant so much to me and my career, and obviously the USG, what it has done for golf. This was the biggest event you could win growing up, as win a USG event. I've won it 9 times. It's pretty special. So looking forward to playing this week. I've really missed playing U.S. Opens, and this will be another fun test.
And I feel so badly about Otto Warmbier. That was the one thing. And Otto did not die in vain.
If I ran for president, I would win. Hands down, I would win.
Because you would
be
not
the funniest, most exciting, crazy campaign.
This is still America, and we should at least respect and have a certain decorum. I think it was disgusting what you did, Mr. De Niro. I respect you as an actor, but it was disgusting what you did. All right? Everyone that stood up. You know, I didn't agree with President Obama, but I respected him.
Boom, boom, boom.
Bob De Niro still getting crushed, undeservedly so, for acting like a jackass at the Tonys on Sunday night. Welcome back, everybody. Bernie and Sid on this hump day Wednesday, middle of the week, and a lot going on politically, news, and obviously sports. Two major, major events about to get going tomorrow. One here locally on the island, Shinnecock, for the U.S. Open. You heard from Tiger Woods. He's won 3 of these, winning in 2000, 2002, but of course the last win 10 years ago in 2008. And then, of course, World Cup soccer gets going tomorrow morning. Russia, the host country, taking on Saudi Arabia as a big favorite tomorrow morning. So a lot going on. Good morning, Bernard.
Sidney Rosenberg, as I live and breathe. I like this song. This is Goodfellas.
Very De Niro-ish.
And that actor you heard that was trashing was Robert Davi. Did you ever hear that guy?
No, that's why I don't care if he trashed him. When I hear Joe Pesci, Al Pacino, one of those guys trash Robert De Niro, I'll pay closer attention.
Yeah, well,
you found the Scott Baio of...
I don't think you... Don't hold your breath. I don't think anybody wants to burn any bridges.
No.
As far as De Niro goes. But... Yeah, listen, hey, the World Cup starts tomorrow in Russia, and they're already there's going to be St. Petersburg and Moscow. And but just trivia question. St. Petersburg, do you know what it used to be called?
It used to be called Daytona Beach.
I'll give you a hint.
All right.
It wasn't Stalingrad.
No,
that's a hint.
Luxembourg.
Jilly knows.
Leninburg?
Very good.
There we go.
Is it Leninburg? Is that right?
Leningrad.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I thought. You're saying that's right. I didn't think so.
What a...
You ever go full retard?
Leninburg.
But what they're doing at some of these venues, they're doing what all cities do, Brazil, whatever. They're painting houses.
Yeah.
They're removing the homeless.
Yeah.
And they're getting rid of stray dogs.
Yeah.
Apparently, they have packs of stray dogs in...
Unlike North Korea, there are no dogs walking around there.
There's no dogs.
No, this is as big as it gets in sports. That's the bottom line. And these countries go nuts. And that's their favorite sport anyway. So I got to think that Brighton Beach down by Coney Island tomorrow, it's got to be nuts. That's all Russian. Ocean Avenue, Ocean Parkway, Coney Island Avenue in Brooklyn, Brighton Beach, all Russian. All. So I got to think you're going to see that on the streets of Brooklyn and other parts here in the Tri-State area coming up later on tonight.
You think they'll trash their own neighborhoods as say, let's say the soccer hooligans do in London? Will have that kind of behavior here?
I think if they win, which the Russians are not going to win, but if they did win, I think you may see little bit of damage. You may maybe throw somebody off the cyclone or something. I don't know.
Do you ever see stray dogs anymore in the city?
I mean, in Manhattan?
Yes, I remember growing up, I saw stray dogs. We used to see stray dogs. I was lived in fear of stray dogs, as a matter of fact. But these days, I never see a stray dog.
No, cats I see plenty, but not dogs, no. No, dogs are man's best friend. You don't let them out. It's like letting your kid run outside.
Yeah, but apparently they cleansed the street. They purged the streets of New York of stray dogs. You remember seeing them when you were growing
up? They're all on death row.
I just remember seeing cats when I was a kid in Brooklyn. Never dogs. Never.
The shelter people come and get them, Ernie.
Maybe it's a hood thing. I don't know.
I guess.
The shelter people come and get them?
They come and get them.
Oh.
So what are we giving away? Here's what we want to do. If, you know, the United States obviously is not in the World Cup. Ireland, for Bernard, not in the World Cup. Italy,
it's a disgrace.
Not in the World Cup. Some of our favorite countries are not there.
By the way, you know, Italy has elected their own, they have a new prime minister, a really populist Donald Trump type guy. As a matter of fact, to the point where there was a migrant boat with about 900 people on it out at sea. And they said, you know what? Go to the next country down the line.
Ah, nice.
Spain said, we'll take you. But they refused to take the migrant boat.
Good.
So it's just
good for them.
Which is why, out of the G7, the only country to support Trump's harsh rhetoric towards Trudeau was Italy.
Right. They were the only ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway. But they're not in the World Cup.
They're not in the World Cup.
And the heads will roll.
I guess. But what we're looking for is this melting pot of ours, New York City. We can walk out of Madison Square Garden right now. That's where we are, folks. Doesn't get more exciting than that. We can walk outside right now, me and Bernie, and walk down 7th Avenue. And if you said to us, you need to find a person from Mexico, from Brazil, Argentina, Germany, Senegal, we would find all of that in probably less than 30 minutes. So if, in fact, you are a diehard soccer fan and you own a jersey, got to own the jersey, like I'm wearing a Met shirt today. If you own the jersey, you're from one of those countries, and you're a diehard soccer fan, we're inviting you to come down to Madison Square Garden, meet me and Bernie, actually come on the show. We've got great giveaways and prizes, and we want you, whoever you are, to be the person who cheers on your home country.
Country notwithstanding. Could be Saudi Arabia.
Doesn't matter.
Could be Iran.
We want that.
Let's do it.
There are 32 countries in the World Cup. There are 8 groups of 4 teams. We want to get as many as the 32 reps as we can get. Wear your jersey. Prove to us that host country is actually yours. You'll be on the Bernie and Sid show. You'll get prizes. And throughout the World Cup, which lasts a month, as long as your team wins, you will be the correspondent for that country.
And your infection can sway us as to who we root for.
That's right.
In the World Cup.
Because right now we don't really have at least I don't.
We don't have a dog in the hunt.
Not really,
they
no.
Say.
Well, all the dogs are gone, so.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I know.
But look, whatever it is, even, I don't know, let's say, well, not ISIS, right? They're not a country. They don't have a caliphate.
Not anymore.
We'll take anything.
Yeah.
We love Portugal.
Portugal's big, yes. Yes.
We love the Icelandic people.
Iceland, yep.
A little chilly.
But, a little chilly, see what you did there?
They come around.
Yeah.
We had Adam Bleakney in here yesterday to tell us Brazil.
Brazil is the favorite.
And Belgium,
England,
is a sleeper. Yeah.
Brazil's a hands-down favorite.
It's not really close. Well, Germany won it last time, so they're getting a lot of respect.
But you don't want... Well, we'll take Germans as well.
Yeah, but I'm not rooting for Germany. Not gonna,
all your fervor and passion is not going to sway Sid Rosenberg...
Not Germany.
...to root for Germany.
No, they did kill 6 million of my people. I draw the line at... Six million.
What if, let's say Volkswagen offered you a free car?
No. Mercedes-Benz, different story.
You would take it?
Of course. I'm not an idiot.
Well, I mean, what about all those people? The aforementioned?
Stuff happens.
Okay.
Or casualties of war.
Well, let me go on record as to say that I would not accept
England.
A free car from Germany.
No, England.
Screw them.
What about England for you?
England, part of the IRA.
You're right. I would not. Absolutely. I can't root for England.
That's right.
No Rolls
Royce. I can't root for the people who oppressed my people for centuries.
Yeah.
And actually engaged in genocide themselves.
That's what I'm saying. So for me, it's Germany. For you, it's England. Can't do it.
All right. We have our principles, Sydney
and
I.
Right.
That's where we draw the line.
What if somebody offered you a Bentley?
Where do I sign up?
Right, man. Hey, Sam. It's Leroy here on the dotted line. It's my car. Thanks for the keys. See you later. Cheerio. Goodbye.
I mean, it was like, you know, it was centuries ago.
You got to get over these things, right? Come on.
You know, we got to move on. Look, in the spirit of the Korean summit, we have to move on.
Got to move on, yeah.
Push on forward.
Yeah.
Right? So anyway, listen, this is serious, though. We're making this offer to these folks out there to come in here.
Right.
And a lot of you folks out there listening to us right now, we have cab drivers, Uber drivers, and people just driving to work.
They're all from the Middle East, all of them. There's plenty of Middle Eastern countries in this tournament.
No right-minded American. Well, no, actually, we have a lot of Americans driving in cars who could. They're Americans, hyphenated Americans.
Right. If you live in New Jersey, but you were born in Mexico, or your parents were born in Mexico,
yeah,
and you're going to wear that Mexican jersey with fervor the next couple of weeks, you're in.
Look at as Matt Meany pointed out, we had a gentleman in here of Welsh descent. He's our IT guy.
Right.
He is as passionate a soccer fan as you can
find. He's nuts, yeah.
And as American a guy as you can find.
But I actually emailed, it's a true story. I emailed Lonnie Hanover yesterday. You folks that know Lonnie, of course, you Howard Stern fans. Howard was in the Open with Alec Baldwin. He was the guy that was, he ran Scores all those years when Howard and those guys were hanging out there. Now he runs Rick's Cafe and Vivid. Lonnie, he's a great guy. Great, great guy.
Yeah.
So I emailed him yesterday. He said, listen, I know you got a bunch of international girls that dance naked at those two clubs. If, in fact, some of them are really into the soccer, some are. The Russian girls, maybe. And you want to bring one down wearing just the Russia jersey and nothing else.
I like that.
We're in.
Hey, come on. It's a no-brainer.
So he said.
That's
easy.
Penny is or something as well.
That could sway you, right? That can sway you.
That
if
would
some
definitely.
Bombshell walks in wearing a Russian jersey and nothing else.
Well.
Sign me up.
I don't want to be accused of collusion, but I may have to.
You know, it's funny you say that. You know, and Joe probably saw these. I got a bunch of tweets that said, because I'm somewhat of a Trump supporter, you must be rooting for Russia. I got a bunch of those tweets.
Is that
unbelievable?
It's engaged. The silly season began over 2 years ago. You know that. We're going to root for Russia because we're supporting Trump. I mean, well, that's obviously a cheap, ignorant shot.
Well, of course. Tons of those.
But listen, these people now, they have to call a certain number.
No, just call in 1-800-848-WABC. Call me, and we'll set it up. You guys.
What is it for people driving? What are the numbers? Is that 9222?
9222. 1-800-848-9222. And you can call me. We'll set it up. You come down wearing your jersey of your team of choice.
There she is, Lindenberg.
We got a big show coming up. Anthony Scaramucci will join us. The best critic in the history of New York and the best sports writer, quite frankly, from the New York Post. Our dear friend Phil Mushnick, Mike Vaccaro from the New York Post, talking baseball and golf as well. Going to be a monster show. We come back on the Bernie and Sid Show on a Wednesday right after these words.
Does she have a fat ass? Absolutely.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Juliet Huddy with your entertainment report. President Trump just touched back down here at home after an historic meeting with North Korea's president. While millions at home are lauding his efforts, some are, well, not. Cue the late night talk show host, starting with Jimmy Kimmel.
A lot of pundits think it was a mistake to meet with an unstable dictator, but Kim Jong-un said, you know what, I'm going to do it anyway.
Okay, I thought that was kind of funny. No? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, we'll go to
Seth. It was good. It was good.
Seth Meyers. Well, let's see about this one.
This is a guy who starves his own citizens and assassinates people with anti-aircraft guns. You're talking about him like he started Apple in his garage.
Trevor Noah, I think this one's pretty good.
President Trump said meeting Kim Jong-un was his great honor. I mean, then again, when you've appeared in a McDonald's commercial talking to Grimace, everything seems like an honor. I get it.
All right, and the last one for you is late night host John Oliver.
President Trump says he got North Korea to commit to destroying a major missile testing site, but, quote, didn't put it in the agreement because we didn't have time. Didn't have time? It's a nuclear deal. It's not a trip to Disney World where you didn't have time for extra.
Pretty funny.
That's a guy named James Corden. I thought that was John Oliver. James Corden.
Oh, was it?
Mr. Piggy, as he was called by one of the hashtag Me Too girls.
I'm not recognizing the sound of the voice. I'm sorry, I screwed that up.
But,
oh, thank you for the correction. And I'm Juliette. That's entertainment.
It was just surreal watching John Travolta standing outside of Lenny's Pizzeria in Bay Ridge yesterday. Of course, we talked about this with Bo Dietl yesterday, Bernie. The scene when Saturday Night Fever starts, you see Travolta walking down a Bay Ridge street eating a slice of pizza. And this song is playing. You can play it. And with his boots, they show his boots. And that dates all the way back, late 1970s, to Lenny's Pizzeria in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, not too far from Dyker Heights and Poly Prep, where I went to school. And John Travolta was back at that pizzeria yesterday with Kelly Preston. It was surreal, Bernard.
And our friend Bo Dietl did attend.
He was there.
It was apparently called John Gotti Day.
Yeah.
Which is...
Travolta was very close with Gotti. You know, Travolta used to go to a lot of guys, famous people, Ray Sharkey, other guys would show up in court to actually lend their support to John Gotti.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, listen, it was business, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He was the last of the real,
dapper. He was the man going to Regine's with his great suits, and he looked like the type of guy you wanted to be around as long as you didn't piss him off.
Charismatic.
Yes.
And, yes, he was. He had that Hollywood swagger or something like that that people liked, and, of course, the ability to stay out of jail, which is why they called him Teflon Don for so long, until...
Because Giuliani couldn't get him.
Until he couldn't stay out of jail.
Or Giuliani stopped, was no longer in charge of that, and then all of a sudden Gotti went to jail.
Yes, and died a very, very ignominious death of throat cancer.
A lot of people think the government killed him.
They wouldn't treat him in the supermax lockdown, wherever the hell he was.
Some say not only would they not treat him, but they actually somehow or another administered the disease, which I think is a bit crazy, but whatever.
Whatever. But anyway, yesterday was John Gotti Day out at Lenny's in Bay Ridge. And yeah, there's a picture of Travolta in the paper and he looks pretty good for 61.
Well, he's got the white suit like he wore in SNF. He's got the black button-down shirt, but the gray beard, he should have shaved just yesterday. It would have looked more like Tony Manero than the beard. That didn't work for me yesterday.
Right.
The full gray beard. Just shave for yesterday, because his face still looks good.
Yeah. No, he looks good. I think he looks all right.
But he didn't have a beard, Tony Manero.
I got what you're saying.
I like the beard, too, but at least for yesterday. Listen, I always tell you guys, I'm mad at my parents, because I'm Sidney Rosenberg, the Jew. Always wanted to be Italian. Went to Poly Prep. Everybody was Italian. There were four Jews in the school, and despite what Arthur Idala tries to tell you, they menaced us. So between Polly and then 1977, John Travolta, every kid in Brooklyn, every kid, no matter what race or creed you were, wanted to be Tony Manero. Every kid.
Sure, of course. I would say outside of Brooklyn also as well. I mean, he was that popular back in the day, but he does have that wig too, which works well for him.
The wig? The wig?
Oh, absolutely.
It's gone, completely gone?
Oh, this is a total wig. He's bald like, I mean, Ed Asner bald.
I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good-looking wig.
For a long time. Yeah, it works for him.
Maury's wigs.
It's like Maury's.
They don't come off.
At a Goodfellas. It's on nice and snug, but it's definitely a wig. And he's got it where it's kind of grayish, so it matches his beard.
Right, right.
He's got the black one if he wants. He's got the gray one. He's got one that grows in a little, one that's short.
Yeah.
Isn't that that so deceiving if a woman meets a guy with a wig and then they start dating and he takes it off?
Don't put on no makeup or boobs or this type of thing.
If she wore a hair.
Why are you hating on men?
It's just deceiving.
You know, I tell you.
Deceiving.
All the rumors about Travolta being gay and all that stuff. So
I don't think that's a rumor.
It's a fact, right?
I mean, he was actually almost arrested for molesting or sexually assaulting masseuses.
I know.
Male masseuses.
I know. And, of course, he was part of that Scientology thing with Tom Cruise, and they're all bi. And so I know that. But it was funny. I was watching, I go from one series to the next, Bernie, on Netflix. We'll get to the Trump stuff and all. So I go from one series to the next. On Netflix, I did Ozark. I loved it. I told you guys. Then I did this ridiculous slasher, which is basically Friday the 13th, the Netflix version, two seasons of that. So I started, Danielle started last night, so I watch it with her because she's naked in bed and it's fun. So she started this show with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin. It's old. It's been around a couple of years,
Frankie,
I guess.
Frankie and Grace?
Frankie and Grace. So, and I was like yelling at her, I don't want to watch this, ba, ba, ba. I got to tell you.
It's great.
It is, and how the thing starts, Bernie, is Jane Fonda is married to Martin Sheen. Lily Tomlin is married to Sam Waterston.
Is this an old show?
From Law and Order. It's been around about a year and a half.
Right.
Fonda and Tomlin, they just made the rounds. Remember with Howard?
Okay, all right, all right. That's why they were together with Megyn Kelly back then.
Correct.
I got it.
So they also made a movie together now with Candace Bergen. I don't know, but this show's been around a couple of seasons. So they're married, these couples. They're having dinner, and Martin Sheen looks at Jane Fonda, and he says, I'm leaving you. She goes, you son. Who is she? And he goes, it's not a she. Yeah. He goes, it's Saul. And he points to Sam Waterston, who's Lily Tomlin's husband. They're best friends for 40 years, these two couples. She looks at him, she goes, how long has this been going on? He goes, 20 years. And they're in bed. Sam Waterston. So Martin Sheen leaves Jane Fonda. He moves in with Sam Waterston. And then Lily Tomlin moves in with Jane Fonda. Their daughter, by the way, is Brooklyn Decker, the gorgeous actress married to Andy Roddick. I got to tell you, hilarious. Now, again, you got to get past the politics. Not you, per se, but people who can't stand Jane Fonda.
And
you got to get past that.
The politics, knowing what her politics are, or knowing what the subliminal messages in the show are.
There's no message in the show.
There's no message
in
the show?
Not that I've seen yet, no.
A guy leaves his wife for a guy.
Yeah, his best friend.
Okay.
So there have been times in the past, like I've been at my buddy Chris's house down in Florida. He was my best friend. We'd have these barbecues, and we'd be having a great time, and our wives would be miserable sitting there, and Danielle would always be like, why don't you just move in with him? And I said, I would, but I can't get past the anal part. Everything else I'm fine with. I can do it. I can't get past the anal.
You could.
I can live with a guy.
I don't even want to ask what you could
do. No, I don't mean sexually. I could live with you in a heartbeat.
Oh, right.
We'd watch TV. We'd eat out. We'd go to games. It'd be a blast. But the sex, that becomes an issue. But for Martin Sheen and Sam Waterston, no issue.
Now, listen, he's got to be older. Martin Sheen's got to be older than Jane Fonda, right? She's 71.
I think they're both in their mid-70s, but I'm not sure. They both look good, by the way.
Right.
They both look pretty good.
Hey, listen.
But it's a funny show. You'd like it.
I like funny.
Yeah, it's like just funny.
Martin Sheen is 77.
Wow.
He's got to be, because Charlie Sheen's got to be in his 50s.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Even Emilio Estevez has to be in his 50s.
Gene Fonda is 80.
80, that's right. That's right. We talked about that.
Wow. She looks good.
By the way, she may be the best-looking 80-year-old on the planet.
Oh, no doubt.
On the planet.
Well, it's a testament to good living, health, exercise, and not having to go to work every day.
It's still the Mojave Desert down there, but...
Well, she said it's closed for business. That's what she said.
Well, she said it's been closed for years, actually. Yeah, it's been a while.
But the woman, and that was the source of the tension with Megyn Kelly, when Megyn said, you did all this to look that way, and she didn't want to talk about it.
Right. So my question to you, Jill, is if Vic actually came home tonight and said, honey, we're done, which, by the way, is entirely possible.
Bye-bye.
I know you would. But, and if you said to him, who is she? And he said, no. It's a he. Would you feel better or worse?
Worse.
Why is that?
I would feel even more deceived. Like, how did I not know he was gay?
And you would feel like, oh, my God, I'm so bad that I made
kids.
Him enjoy the penis. Like, he went to the penis because of me.
I wouldn't blame myself. I would blame him.
These are shows designed to change your mindset. That's what these shows are for. Yep. Yep. To change your perception of sexuality and sexual roles and gender identity and all that stuff.
I feel like women who have been cheated on would feel worse if their husband turned out to be gay.
Well, let me ask Bernie then. If Carol left you, all these things, by the way, are entirely possible. If Carol left you and ended up with a woman rather than a man, would you feel better or worse? Or equal.
As long as she was, I would feel devastated.
Right.
But as long as she was happy, it wouldn't bother me. not in the slightest.
But you wouldn't feel like, oh my God, I turned her into a lesbian? Like,
but they see, that's what the show, now you say there's no message.
Okay.
It's trying to turn people, you didn't turn her into a lesbian.
You didn't?
I don't think Jane Fonda, the show characterizes Jane Fonda as turning Martin Sheen.
No, doesn't.
Baby, I was born that way. Remember that song?
Yes.
That's what they're trying to tell you.
Right, it's a double lie. They were gay and they cheated.
It actually does have a message.
Maybe it's just me. I just think that way.
Yes, of course you do.
Right.
And it's to turn knuckle draggers like you around and show you that nobody's turning anybody into anything. That's the way they were born and raised.
Okay.
Or born, I should say. Just leave it at born because I don't want to commit a hate crime.
But he was married to her for 40 years.
Doesn't matter. He was suppressing it because of cultural forces out there. Unnatural cultural forces.
Okay.
Come on, now we got to get woke here.
What are you, Dr. Phil?
1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Bernie and Sid, we'll come right back.
My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
We are black here on the Bernie and Sid show. And listen.
Walking around the room singing stormy weather.
Stormy.
At 57 yes. Mount Pleasant Street.
Are you sick of Bill Clinton, Sidney?
Yeah.
I think everybody is, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sick of the media coverage, too, not just Bill. I'm sick of... I get it. He's a rapist and a creep, and I get it, yeah.
But does he get it?
No, of course not.
I mean, he's a smart guy.
Oh, come on.
But...
he's also a deviant. That those two are completely different. I mean, he's a very, very smart guy, but he's a sick bastard.
But he's so... His judgment is so off that in this era... That this climate that we have right now that they call hashtag Me Too or whatever, he decides to come out and do a book tour.
I know.
And thinks he's going to go out and they're just going to ask him about the book or something. Well, whatever. And
I think that's what it was.
He continues to put his foot in his mouth, which is all the more perplexing, I mean, for a smart guy like this. But the worst, I think he put the nail in his coffin here with this latest. This is a... He sat down on PBS with that guy, James Patterson, who, by the way, you and I have interviewed.
He's a very good writer.
Yeah, good writer. James Patterson, nice guy. But what was he thinking either? But anyway.
What was he thinking? They're going to make a ton of
shekels.
Money.
Shekels.
With all the stuff you're going to play now, which is going to continue, which you do a great job of, exposing Bill Clinton as a creep and basically a predator. That is not going to stop half this country from buying millions and millions of copies of his book.
The book is called, by the way, The President is Missing. And it should be called The President is Missing a Synapse or something in his brain. Because listen to what he told Judy Woodruff. After all this controversy, even knowing that this stuff is coming, this is what he said to her about the whole thing. Listen.
I assume you think that what happened with you was more serious than what happened with former Senator Al Franken. He was driven from office from the U.S. Senate. So norms have changed. Do you think that's a good thing?
I think the norms have really changed in terms of what you can do to somebody against their will, how much you can crowd their space, make them miserable at work. You don't have to physically assault somebody to make them, uncomfortable at work.
So the norms back in his day, it was okay to make somebody miserable.
He should have just said, you should thank me, I changed the norms.
Yeah.
Because I did all that stuff. So.
I mean, that is absolutely hilarious.
Al Franken, I mean, we I can't stand Al Franken, neither can you, but certainly no one's ever going to compare what Al Franken did to what Bill Clinton. I don't know if you can compare anybody to Bill Clinton.
I don't think so.
In politics. Bill Cosby maybe, but I mean politicians.
And by the way, history being revised, I've mentioned this before, there was a hashtag Me Too type movement in the 90s. You had Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill. Then shortly after that, you had a guy named Senator Bob Packwood, who was accused of sexually harassing women. They drove him out of office. So there was a heightened awareness. And then when he did his stuff, everybody said, well, you know what? Forget all that nonsense. Let's go forget it.
Yeah.
We like the guy. It's his business. So they decided. And that set the tone for the next, 20 years until Hillary didn't win in 2016. And then they came out and they rebuked Bill Clinton, but they got Harvey Weinstein and arrested his ass, which never would have happened if Hillary Clinton had won. And speaking of putting in that class, you have this woman. By the way, Bill Clinton is 71 years old. He'll be 72 this coming August, which is the same age as Trump, though he seems pretty frail.
He has been frail for many, many years. Which is odd because he was, good looking and energetic and the sax player, but
he was virile.
Yeah, it went sideways about a decade ago.
He went vegan.
I remember seeing him. That's why. You don't eat meat, you're going to die. Yeah. I remember seeing him and actually interviewing him, and the picture's in my office right now. Me, him, and Yogi Berra at Joe Torre's annual Safe at Home Foundation golf tournament, which he held for many years at Trump International up in Westchester. It was one of my last shows I ever did at FAN back in 2004 with Joe Beningo. And we interviewed Clinton. He was there that day. It was wonderful, by the way. It was a great interview. But I remember saying to Joe, now you're talking 14 years ago, Bernie. 14 years ago. I remember saying to Joe, man, is it me or is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on? Now that was a long time ago. And only about a decade after his presidency, he really went downhill fast. Once he left office,
he seems like a beaten man. Though he's very during the campaign, he was a little feisty and defiant.
Yeah, it's fine.
But definitely a little on the weak side. Yeah. Just like, can you help me with this zipper?
Slick Willie.
I can't get it off. I can't get it down.
Well, that's part of the genius of who's your friend? The one you did coke off his ass. Jill, SNL.
I didn't do coke.
Oh, Daryl Hammond.
Yeah, Daryl Hammond.
It was vice versa.
Oh, he did coke off your
ass.
That's not true. So, yeah. Is it true? So anyway, so he does two Bill Clintons. He does the one that was the president.
Yes.
And then he does the one that was with me and Joe Beningo 10 years later. Now the one now. There should be a third Bill Clinton.
Right. one who is...
basically dead.
A ventriloquist dummy.
Just one who has been chastened enormously in the past year and to his great chagrin and surprise as well. Yeah, Jill's going to kill you.
Oh, she gets upset.
Fake news.
It's not fake news.
You weren't there.
But you told me about it.
No, I didn't.
See, if I'm not there but you tell me about it, it's as good as placing me there.
That never happened.
Huh? There's a third person too, but I'll leave them out.
Hey, Jill, is this your straw?
Wasn't Boomer there too?
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Right, Roseanne Barr, well, the show back, sans Roseanne. Plenty of sports, and one of the great sports writers this city has ever seen. And a critic as well, the great Phil Mushnick. He'll talk about everybody in this city, all that and more. The 7 o'clock hour on Bernie and Sid, right after Juliet with the news.
And I don't remember that you sent cargo planes of cash or gave anything, really, before the lead-up. Why do you think he's interested in doing this after spending that time with
him? Well, it's sort of interesting because I noticed some of the press would say he's meeting with them and therefore he has a major loss. I said, since when? We really have gotten a lot. You haven't seen missiles going up in 7 or 8 months. You haven't seen research. You haven't seen nuclear tests, very importantly. And we got our hostages back. And you're right. We didn't pay for that.
There he is, Commander-in-Chief with Sean Hannity. A lot to do this hour. New York Post sports writer Phil Mushnick is going to come by and drop a safe, basically, on everybody. That's what he does. It's been Francesa forever. It was Imus for years. It was me, as Bernard has found out the last couple of days, for years. But Phil will talk about a variety of topics. He'll join us later on.
He's got a spine. He's not one of these obsequious sports reporter types.
No. And if he comes at you, he's relentless. He doesn't quit. Mets lose, Yankees win. We got the World Cup. We got big golf tomorrow at Shinnecock and Bowls on Long Island. But Donald Trump, there was still some people yesterday. That was Trump with Sean Hannity, Bernie. But still some people yesterday, and inspired me to tweet Nicole Wallace directly. Still people yesterday refusing to give Donald Trump even a modicum of credit for what he did two nights ago.
That's true. He is back in town. He landed this morning at, 5 o'clock in the morning. He's back at the White House now, and I guess you can expect to see this Energizer Bunny guy to do whatever the hell he does.
I'll have what he's having.
All day long. But, so anyway, he's back, but there are people out there who will not give him credit. Yeah, and never, despite that, these are the same people who praised to the high heavens President Obama on the Iran deal afterwards. Nancy Pelosi called the Iran deal a diplomatic masterpiece. And now she's saying that this is just a scam and a sham and essentially a distraction from the Russia collusion and Stormy Daniels. These people. And you had some local guys, Chuck Schumer and Senator Bob Menendez, the criminal who got away with murder. Everything but murder, I should say. But anyway, listen to these guys criticize this. What I don't see how you can do it, but they're criticizing this this summit.
It's worrisome, very worrisome, that this joint statement is so imprecise. What the United States has gained is vague and unverifiable at best. What North Korea has gained, however, is tangible and lasting.
I have to be honest with you. This is the weakest statement I have ever seen come out of any engagement with North Korea.
This guy's lucky he's not in ankle braces.
Look, both of those guys are idiots, Schumer and Menendez. But to their point, and again, I give Donald Trump all the credit in the world for doing this. Other presidents said they would do it. They did not do it. He does deserve credit. But this is just for me. There is something to what they're saying. In other words, we didn't really see what the deal contained. We know what the major points are about denuking and all that, but pessimistic that this leader will follow through, I think that's fair. We didn't really see all the specifics of this deal. It sounds great. It looks great. It's a great job out of Trump just to get it going. But if you really break it down, I'm not exactly sure what we're celebrating today. I'm really not sure.
You're right. There is no concrete deal. As you've heard before, it's a process. They agreed to generally denuclearize the peninsula, essentially is what it is. But the point, I guess, with these guys, is instead, like Bernie Sanders, he broke with these guys. Bernie Sanders said that. This is what he tweeted. While very light on substance, Trump and Kim Jong-un's meeting is a positive step in de-escalating tensions and addressing the threat of North Korea's nuclear weapons. Congress has a key role to play in making sure it's a meaningful process, not just a series of photo ops.
That's exactly what I said.
And that's the way to look at it.
Right.
Because even Trump doesn't know if this guy will follow up and follow through on what he says, what he has said, and what he signed and he agreed to. But we don't know. But it is. It's better to be in this spot right now than for him to be threatening the U.S.
Sure.
mainland or threatening Guam or Japan or shooting off missiles or whatever the hell it is.
Not only that, but this is one of those trades where it cost us nothing. I mean, again, we gave a ton of money when Clinton was in charge to North Korea. Barack Obama gave Iran a ton of money. The sanctions are still in place, so we're still strangling North Korea until, in fact, they abide by whatever this agreement says. We've given them nothing. So in the end, let's say nothing happens here. Things remain status quo. Unlike Clinton with Korea and Obama with Iran, this cost us nothing.
And not only did it cost us nothing, we got three hostages back.
Right.
And
alive, unlike Warmbier, who Obama basically let die.
Right, exactly. And they did destroy one nuclear missile site, a major one, according to them. Who knows? Whatever. But anyway, all the Asian nations say, hey, this is a good thing. But for these guys like Schmuck Schumer and Menendez, these are the guys who praised Obama for going down to meet with Castro and for, you know, bending over backwards and grabbing his ankles for the Ayatollahs in Iran. They praised that. And as you point out, and as I pointed out myself, he paid them money up front to do what they were supposed to do, which they didn't follow through on. And so for these guys, credit to Bernie Sanders. And there was about like 15 Democratic congressmen who came out with a statement supporting what happened in the Korean Singapore summit.
Yeah.
So credit to those guys, but also credit to, I guess, Dennis Rodman, because Sarah Sanders, she, first of all, you heard the clip of Dennis crying yesterday.
Yeah, emotional.
He was on CNN with Chris Cuomo wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
I saw that.
And by the way, just, you know, I've reached out. Dennis was a guest of mine often. Not every now and then, often. We hosted shows together.
You were tight.
Down in Miami, we were tight. I haven't spoken to Dennis in about 2 years, but I did reach out to Kenny Anderson, who was on our show, the former New Jersey Net, Boston Celtic. He was one of the guys that went with Dennis to Korea the first time when they all got yelled at for playing basketball. And he's reaching out to Dennis today. And when I say this, usually stuff does happen. There's a better than good chance that Dennis Rodman will be on this show next week.
How do you like that?
Yes.
Well, listen, he's the guy to have.
Yep.
This man, he was mocked and ridiculed, and he turns out he was a visionary.
Yeah, he was.
He broke down some fences, and he was a peacemaker.
I remember him saying things like, "He's not a bad guy." You know, we play ping pong together. Listen, we hang out.
He's a horrible guy.
He is a bad guy. He's a horrendous guy. Is what he is. He is the Hitler of Asia right now, at least as concerns his own people. And he's abducted a bunch of Japanese people over the years. He's done terrible things, but whatever.
Murdered his own family members.
The point is, yes, and Dennis May, he was a dupe to a large extent, but he was also maybe instrumental, who knows, in bringing Trump and Kim together. I don't know. That's probably far-fetched.
Yeah,
however,
that is.
but Sarah Sanders actually called Dennis Rodman up. This is after his appearance.
Well, that was from Trump. Trump told her to call him. But yes,
that's right. Yep. This is after his appearance on CNN, wearing a Make America Great Again hat. What a visual. Anyway, this is some of the call from Sarah Sanders, which Rodman's people recorded while he spoke to her.
Thank you. I know he appreciates it. And again, we appreciate your support, you being here and being so vocal about it. So I just wanted to call and pass that on.
Okay. When you see Donald next time, can Donald say hi to me and say, "Dennis, I would love to shake your hand"? All right, honey. Thank you very much for having me here.
You bet. Have a great day, and let's hope this is a good one for everybody.
That's our whole hope and dream, honey. Thank you.
Honey.
Yeah, honey.
Honey.
Now, I've been triggered. You cannot call a woman, honey.
Nah, he doesn't know. It's
He's been
Dennis.
Hashtagged.
What are you talking about? It's a low expectation. The bigotry of low expectations.
Well, then call it what it is. That's what it is.
Sweetheart.
It's Dennis.
Hey, sugar, you know, sugar cakes.
What was his wife again? The very famous actress.
Oh, Carmen Electra.
Carmen Electra.
Oh,
that's right.
God, yes. She used to be really hot.
Dennis, I remember the first time I saw Dennis naked in the locker room. Heat bowl, swear to God. Same night my wife saw Michael Jordan naked, by the way.
Jeez, you guys are
traumatized. We've never been the same. Right. And Dennis Rodman, far as I know, and I've seen a lot of peepees in locker rooms across the NBA.
Herb Williams, right?
Herb Williams still the biggest, but he was the first pierced one I've ever seen. Dennis Rodman.
Well, that's why one time he, in the shower when he was playing for Detroit, he was playing with Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah.
With the Pistons, and he swung around real fast, and he knocked Bill Laimbeer to the floor and cut him with the ring.
That's true.
That he had.
He needed 8 stitches right above the eye.
That's exactly it. Remember that?
No.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news.
I'm Juliet Huddy with the Entertainment Report. In the glow of the U.S.-North Korean summit conclusion, celebs are being asked for their 2 cents. TMZ catching up with veteran CBS anchor Dan Rather, who surprisingly says he is hopeful.
Well, it may take a while to sort it out. Always better to talk peace than to make war.
But rather says the real winner is Kim.
He got equal standing with the President of the United States, got the North Korean flag equal with our own flag.
And, yeah, a White House secretary did call Dennis Rodman to thank him on behalf of the president for his role in brokering the North Korean summit.
You know, I know he appreciates it, and again, we appreciate your support, you being here and being so vocal about it.
That was White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, the worm, telling Sanders he didn't really expect credit for bringing the two men together, but he does want a little acknowledgement that maybe he helped soothe some ruffled feathers along the way, and then said,
When you see Donald next time, can Donald say hi to me and say, Denz, I would love to shake your hand?
I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
First question was the obvious one. Besides, do you think he'll get an interview, or what do you think the chances are of Patrick Ewing getting that job?
Zero.
Zero. Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't think they will go anywhere near. You see, this is going to mean a clean break from John Thompson. So right. You're not going to bring Patrick Ewing in.
This morning, we have the privilege of introducing to all of you our head men's basketball coach, Patrick Ewing.
We'll get back to the Donald Trump North Korea stuff with a great weekly guest, Anthony the Mooch Scaramucci. He'll be here at 8 o'clock, as he is each and every Wednesday morning. But there's a little clip of some of the great things we've heard over the years from Mike Francesa, who, by the way, deserves some credit this morning. You know, the ratings came out a couple of days ago, and Mike, of course, made his triumphant return after his long retirement to WFAN in April, and he put a whooping on Michael Kay.
Oh, boy.
Kay got like a 5-5, Francesa nearly a 7, and destroyed him. In fact, to Mike's credit, he only lost 1 month in his history at WFAN. He's only lost 1 month to Michael Kay. And, of course, when Francesa left, that awful trio, which is now getting good ratings before him, they lost twice. So it does go to show you that Mike is still the Pope, the King of New York. All of his gaffes and all of his errors, and we've got a guest coming up in about 15 minutes that has made a living out of ripping Mike Francesa every single Sunday in the New York Post.
He calls it as he sees it. He backs up his reporting.
He calls it as he sees it, but there are a ton of people that think it's personal. They think that Mushnick finds ridiculous and silly things just to bash Francesa every week. We'll let Phil explain that, but there's a ton of people who think that Phil goes out of his way to find stupid stuff just to make sure he crushes Mike every Sunday.
What are you nuts?
What?
I have to tell you, I enjoy the hell out of
me
it.
Me too.
I love it.
Me too. I can't stand Mike, so it's fine for me.
Now listen, Francesa is back in his where he belongs. He's got the ratings are back to where they were before he left. Is that essentially it?
Yeah, even better. He came back and got a great month of April.
And the people he displaced, they're doing well, you say?
Yes, they're doing very well.
Are they really?
Yeah, their number was, when they were hosting, I guess, Beningo and Roberts had some of that. They had some of that. But, of course, their follow now is terrific. And it doesn't matter who Francesa's lead-in is. So to his credit, love him, hate him, there's no question his career. You talk about ratings, he does great, and so does everybody around him.
Honestly, I'm glad. The Michael Kay thing is, I like the people there, like Tim McCarthy, and I like Michael Kay. I've known him a long time.
Yeah.
But Francesa is just, it's a comfort listen. I mean, you've been there he's been there forever.
Right.
So it's just, it's easy. It's like listening to, back in the day, the Mets radio broadcasts. You put on Bob Murphy or whoever it was, or Ralph Kiner or with those guys. It's now. It's like listening to Gary Cohen and Keith Hernandez. You're comfortable with these people. And Michael Kay, he's got – and I like Dom LaGreca as well.
Great guy. And his brother David.
But they got one skunk on the show.
Rosenberg.
Peter Rosenberg, a complete douchebag.
There's no way to listen to that.
No.
If you include that kind of poison in your broadcast, then I would imagine, like me, the listeners are out.
They're not, though.
I don't want to hear this garbage.
I mean, while you're giving Francesa credit on one hand, and you're right, he is the industry standard. He's the guy we're used to listening to. I can make the argument that the fact that Michael Kay gets over a 5 rating and is a top 10 show in this market is a testament to Michael Kay.
I think it's a testament more to the fact that people want to talk and listen to people talk about sports.
I guess, yeah.
I think that's more what it is.
He is the voice of the Yankees, too.
Than the personalities, yes.
Yeah.
Which they just re-signed him.
Yeah.
And he ain't no Gary Cohen. And I don't want to be harsh on Michael Kay, but...
No.
My husband loves that show.
That's kind of harsh.
I got to say, he loves that show. He listens to Us in the Morning.
Show?
My husband loves Michael Kay show.
Oh, really?
He listens to Us in the Morning, then goes to The Fan, and then goes to Michael Kay.
Well, here's where Michael Kay has a leg up on Francesa, in that he has the local stuff. He's the Yankee guy. He's in New York. But for people like your husband, who is like the everyday sports geek, mm-hmm. he likes all those ESPN guys, I'm sure. He loves John Clayton talking football. He loves whoever they've got, you know, talking baseball at ESPN. So Michael Kay has all those guys on his show because ESPN guys will only do ESPN radio. Francesa, he can't get those guys. So he's got to turn to CBS guys, local New York guys. So right off the bat, outside of the local teams, which have deals, the Giants have a deal with Francesa, he gets Eli Manning.
Yeah.
But the Knicks have a deal with ESPN, so Michael Kay gets those guys. But the point is, the national names that do sports, Michael Kay can get them. Francesa can't.
Well,
Kay
he
can get Breen and Van Gundy. Francesa can't.
And he gets from ESPN, he gets Alex Rodriguez.
That's right.
So that's a...
Well, Mike Francesa gets that. That's the
that's
only
what
one
I'm saying.
Gets. That's
yeah.
it. But everybody else he can't get. He can't get.
But he's still beating the daylights, as you put it, out of Michael Kay.
Yeah.
And again, when you have a poisonous a voice on a show like the K Show, it's just me.
I don't like that.
I mean, I couldn't sit there and listen to this guy piping up and putting his hateful comments. And when it comes, because now let's face it, sports and politics they intersect.
But in the meantime, I don't like the guy either. I couldn't agree with you more. He's got over 300,000 followers on Twitter. He is part of a very, very popular FM morning show on a hip-hop station. He's like the face of wrestling all over the country. So while you and I don't like him at all, the guy is legitimately, for a balding little fat, stupid Jewish guy,
well, I don't like,
he's a big star.
Yeah, guy,
he's a big star.
Who perpetuates racism and all that stuff. I just can't deal with that stuff.
Yeah, I hear you.
I can't just leave it out. I just want to talk sports. I want to listen to sports. I don't want to listen to this mutt.
Not like that anymore.
Throw his two cents, his hateful two cents in. But whatever. I don't listen to either one of them, to be quite honest.
I was going to say, when do you listen to either one? Right, exactly.
I did sample Francesa upon his return.
So did I. One day.
And I like, okay, that's great. He was, what the hell was he talking about when I was listening to him? He was talking about the Las Vegas hockey team.
Oh, okay, right. Oh, that's right. You told me, right.
And that's the first time I listened to Francesa in years.
I haven't driven a car in 2.5 years since I came back from Florida because I moved to New York City. And our car is parked in a structure, and Danielle uses it. I don't use it. I have not driven a car since I left Boca Raton. I don't listen to radio when I'm walking down the street. So I only heard Francesa once on my iPhone because I wanted to hear his comeback.
Yeah, I'm back. Francesa, I'm here. Hold on, folks. Everybody. Mushy growth something. What did Mushy say? Tell me. I don't want to hear. Get that away from me! Get it out of here!
So now I get my sports. I go to the gym every day at about 4:30, and I get my sports every day from Dan Levitard, which people in New York don't care about because he's a Miami guy and a national ESPN guy. But I like that stupid television show with him and his father.
Yeah.
And they put in some liberal that you'll hate, Jemele Hill, Sarah Spain, Bomani Jones.
As opposed to you love Jemele Hill?
No, I hate. But again, here's the difference. I still watch the show, love the show, and love Dan. So even though I know Jemele's a racist and I can't stand her, I'll still watch the show.
You'll still swallow.
I'll still watch it, yeah. And I like the show. And that's where I get my sports. Every single day watching TV from a guy in a studio. I happen to love Dan. From a studio in Miami.
But now, as I recall, just yesterday, you were killing Dan Levitard for something he was saying.
Oh, he's the worst. You got to understand. He was best friends with John Skipper.
You see the sort of a conflict?
No. See, I'm very consistent. He is the most liberal guy you ever met. He grew up in Cuba. His family went through a lot of issues. He was best friends with John Skipper, the ESPN president, who ran out. And he always talked about how Skipper was great because he hires gays and blacks and Asians. His politics and your politics are completely different.
And
mine.
And yours.
I'm somewhere closer to the middle.
But you can stomach watching a guy.
I don't care.
And a racist woman.
Same thing with De Niro. I don't care. When it comes to doing what they do, if they do it well, I can't stand his politics, and I'll rip him on Twitter for that, but I'm not going to watch him do sports if he's good at it.
Well, listen, speaking of sports journalists, Sydney, we do have in the wings coming up in the next segment the great, the local sports journalist. He's one of the best ever. I love this guy. Phil Mushnick on the Bernie and Sid Show coming up next.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Oh, very excited about this. Don't forget, coming up top of next hour, his weekly appearance, the Mooch, Anthony Scaramucci, one of Phil Mushnick's colleagues, a great writer, talking Mets and golf. Big day tomorrow on the island. Mike Vaccaro coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But Phil has been a guest of mine many, many times in the past, but he's making his first visit to this show. Bernie loves him, too. This is one of the great sports writers, really, in history, whether he's talking about a specific event, gambling, or even a personality. Here in New York City, he has distinguished himself as one of the real fine writers in the history of the business, a New York legend and treasure. We love him, the great Phil Mushnick. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, fellas.
How are you, Phil Mushnick? Good to have you.
I'm fine. I'm nervous.
What are you nervous about?
I'm frightened of you two guys.
Come on! You know, it's funny you say...
I am. I feel as if I'm conducting... You know, I'm 45 years into business now. I feel as if I've chosen to conduct my own exit interview on WABC.
It's funny you say that, you know, Phil...
It's not funny that I
no,
say
it. No, it is.
I'm serious.
I know you are. I Bernie wasn't really all that familiar with our history. And then I showed him the very last chapter, Phil, in my book, where you basically spent three paragraphs calling me a creep. Then there's actually a page, a Wikipedia page.
Well, you should have seen it before it was edited.
I know. Then on your Wikipedia page, you specifically have a whole section where you mention Don Imus and Sid Rosenberg.
I don't write Wikipedia.
I understand, but the point is, I explained to him that our mutual friend, a beautiful man, Arnie Wetzler, got us together one day, and now you and I are good friends, and we
now
speak.
We're both compulsive gamblers.
That's right! But there was a time when you hated me.
I didn't hate you. You're giving yourself too much credit here. I don't hate you.
But you did rip me like you would Francesca and Imus every Sunday.
Yeah, but I think it was based more on form, on substance than form.
What you phrase or characterize Phil Mushnick as gutter stuff. I mean, you really take offense to that stuff, and you call people out on that.
I just heard marketing sucks, and then a commercial for a Christian insurance company.
Hey, listen,
which
man.
Is it?
Those are our two best accounts,
Phil. We're just trying to pay the bills, yo. But look, you know, to your credit, this is what Phil Mushnick does, and this is why I really admire you and enjoy you as a sports columnist. You're not one of these obsequious, these guys who just would say anything to get along to go. You call the hypocrisy out. You call out, for example, some of the marketing techniques that these people use to appeal to the most base elements.
I have my obsequious moments. In fact, I pay for them. I have... told this woman that I like this dish she makes, and I hate it. And now she makes it as a friend of my wife's, and now she makes, not only does she make it for me like every year at a holiday, she makes me gobs and gobs. And I throw it out. I text her. I go, this is the greatest I ever had. And now I'm really stuck. So I have my obsequious.
You think, right. And he's self-effacing, too, on
yes,
top of all
is.
That. No, but seriously, for example, the use of gang colors over the years, you've called out the use of people like 50 Cent, Jay-Z.
You know, New Era that has all the hats, they said, we have absolutely no idea that these things are being used. Like, suddenly you got a black Cincinnati Reds hat, and you've got a Yankees hat with the logo of the Latin Kings stitched above it, but we had no idea.
Right.
And nobody says anything.
Exactly, but you do. That's the thing.
Well, the other thing that Phil also, the gambling thing, we mentioned Arnie Wexler. We know how you feel about that. Now, of course, with Phil Murphy signing this bill, Phil, and tomorrow the governor of New Jersey will make a bet, the first official legal bet at Monmouth Park in New Jersey. You've made it pretty clear, Phil, that this is an awful thing for people, right? Awful.
Well, yeah, there's no upside to this. Let's look at Atlantic City, which was presented to the voters and the public and the taxpayers as something that would remove the blight from Atlantic City. It would regenerate a blighted area, and that hasn't done that at all. It's done quite the opposite. In fact, the only business that's really benefited down Atlantic City is the pawn shop business. I think there was one pawn shop before gambling, and I think there were quickly six because people were tapping out. You see, gambling, if gambling were, like the governor of Delaware made the first bet, no, $10. Now, if people bet $10, say, once a week, yeah, no harm, no foul. But if they did, there wouldn't be any gambling operation. It wouldn't be worth their while. They couldn't turn on the computers. They want people going heavy. They want people betting as often as possible, as much as possible. And that's not in anybody's best interest.
No, it's clearly a vice that gets way out of control, and
they're going, and now that it's online, it's like video crack.
Yes, in your right from your couch, exactly right. Yeah, no,
give me the credit card. Give me the credit card. Hey, I just won two in a row. I'm hot.
It is
down and down we go.
Exactly right. Phil Mushnick on the Bernie and Sid Show from the New York Post. And also recently, speaking of online type things, which I enjoyed the hell out of. Sydney and I were just talking about Michael Kay and Mike Francis. You went after the two of them for their tweeting, which tell us why. What is it about that annoys Phil Mushnick?
It's megalomania for voyeurs.
Okay.
Well, that's those two guys. Look, you know this, Phil.
You see, I'm watching a Little League World Series, and a kid pitches a no-hitter, and ESPN has to put on what LeBron James thinks of it.
Right.
Well, yeah, it speaks for itself. It's a wonderful thing for the kid. And then LeBron James, like, we all have to care what LeBron James thinks of it. And then LeBron James will turn around and say, respect my privacy.
Right. Well, what's wrong with Mike Francesa tweeting, for example?
Is that a verb or a noun? If you go back, I think it was 2012, where he said he would never, ever, ever, ever do it. He's too smart for that. Nobody cares what people think, that kind of thing. And now he's like the king of, there's nothing wrong with it, but he's already condemned it.
Right. He actually said, I remember his whole rant. He said,
it was a long rant, too. Yeah. You got to be an idiot to do this.
Right. Not only he said, why would I tell you?
He's a bigoted person. He's an expert on things he knows nothing about. And listen, let me tell you something about Francesa. I don't make a living over him. If you go through my column, there'll be a couple of notes every column. I don't listen to him that often. Yeah, I listen mostly in the car. He causes road rage. And our history was that when he started on weekends at FAN, and I thought he was good. And there was a guy named Scott Meyer. You remember him, Sid?
Yes, I remember him, sure. Yeah. He was a general manager of
you would remember him, too.
He was a general manager of WFAN back in the 90s.
And I was right. And this is the guy, instead of the Jim Lampleys who were just talking the superficial, platitudinal stuff. Here's a guy who's, a New York guy, and I was very supportive of him. And if Francesa were honest, and the one thing we know he's not is honest, if he were, he'd tell you that it was Mushnick who kept pushing and pushing and pushing to get him a regular gig on FAN. But then he got the gig, and Sid, you don't want to be friends with people you cover, but sometimes you can't help but become friendly.
Sure.
There's a goodwill thing. So Francesa and I had a very, very strong relationship, and he'd call me and I'd call him, and he'd leak things about himself, that this ABC's interested in me, CBS is interested in me, it's down to the wire, I'm one of the candidates, and it was designed for me to write it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't need a second source, I'm getting it from the source, so I'd write it, and then someone would question him on the air, and he'd say, instead of saying no comment, he'd say, I don't know where he got that.
Well, listen. Nobody knows better than me. When Mad Dog left, I will never forget the morning, Phil. It is documented in my book. Sitting at a bagel joint in Boca Raton on a Sunday morning at 9 with my mom and dad and my beautiful wife, Danielle. And my cell phone rings, Mike Francesa. And he spent the next 3 months going back and forth to CBS along with Mark Chernoff's help in an attempt to hire me and Max Kellerman to replace Dog when he left. And he says to this day that he never did it. So I know better than anybody he's a liar. I will ask you about 9/11, though. Every year...
Wait a second, but in my case, I would call him and say, Mike, don't mess with my credibility. Don't you call me, give me information, and then get on the air and say... And then suggested I made it up.
Right.
I fabricated.
There you go.
And he said, okay. Then he did it again.
He always does it.
Wait a minute. I said, we're done.
So what 9/11, your contention is that Mike and the Mad Dog went on the air afterwards, and they basically blamed Israel and America.
They blamed the international Zionist Jewish conspiracy.
The experiment
very funny, because I've never met two Jews who can agree on anything. Suddenly there's an international conspiracy. It was about 6 days afterwards. It was a Tuesday, so it might have been a Monday, and they got into this deep reflection on This is about Israel. This is retaliation for our support of Israel. And Israel's a failed experiment, which is stunning. If you've ever been to Israel, it's just an amazing, amazing place in which Muslims and Christians live very peacefully and happily. And it's a failed experiment, and American Jews have to choose between... My father's a decorated World War II. I have to defend myself. My great uncle was a doughboy in World War One. Yeah. I mean, I've got to. He's sitting there. The Jews have to decide where their loyalty lies with the United States or Israel. And I'm going, holy moly, this is unbelievable. He said, "This is going to, this." Meanwhile, I've written it, and I heard from people at FAN that day who said, "Are you going to let this go? Are you going to let this go?" And I said, "Absolutely not. I heard it.
Well, sir, surely.
But here's the thing. Not only did the tape disappear, not only instantly, the moment I wrote it, and not only was it denied, I've written this 5 or 6 times. Now, if I got this wrong, if I defamed this guy, a public guy, to such an extent, to such an aggressive, virulent claim, Sue me.
Yeah, there you go. That speaks volumes that he hasn't.
That would shut me up.
That certainly would.
And he said that the ADL cleared him. That was a lie. The ADL merely said they're not releasing the tape to us. But it was the most out. It was like listening to Joseph Goebbels. And there's Russo, the knucklehead, sitting there going, yeah, he's giving it the...
Good point, Mikey. That's right, Mikey. Yeah, that's
a cool. When Russo said... It's gonna take a couple of years to get Bin Laden. Now, how the hell do you know that?
the two geniuses. Hey, listen, Phil Mushnick, we're out of time, sadly, but I would like you do one feature, this look-alike feature. You did one recently, Jeff Van Gundy and Phil Silver is very funny. Check this one out: Devin Mesoraco, the Mets catcher, and Rodney Dangerfield. Just check those two out in the future. Let me know. Let me say if it appears in your column, I'll know you thought it was good. If not,
if it's good, I'll take credit for it.
There you go. Hey, Phil, thanks for coming on the Bernie and Sid Show, man.
Thank you, fellas.
Hey, by the way, Phil, did you send Imus his retirement card?
No, I don't. leave me alone.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. ABC.
I think without the rhetoric, we wouldn't have been here. I really believe that, we did sanctions and all of the things that you would do. But I think without the rhetoric, other administrations, I don't want to get specific on that, but they had a policy of silence. If they said something very bad, very threatening and horrible, just don't answer. That's not the answer. That's not what you have to do. So I think the rhetoric, I hated to do it. Sometimes I felt foolish doing it. But we had no choice.
Donald Trump, he had no choice. Welcome back. Phil Mushnick was great.
Very introspective.
Yes, he was. Let's get into it with Anthony Scaramucci. We do have Mike Vaccaro coming by next hour. Mike will talk about the latest Met loss, another debacle, and, of course, the big golf event, where I believe Mooch shot a 72 at Shinnecock last week.
Come on.
The U.S. Open gets going tomorrow. Mooch, did you shoot a 72 at Shinnecock last week?
I actually did shoot a 72 in the first three holes. I just want to make sure that you got them clear on that.
Okay? Wait a second. You're this multi-millionaire, great-looking guy, own restaurants, you're brilliant. There's no living on in Manhasset. There's no way you're going to tell me you're not a big-time golfer.
I've got too much attention deficit for the golf. I'll tell you what, though. My older brother, with no BS, is a deer scratch golfer. But no, I don't really play golf. But I'll go out with you guys. Okay, we'll have a lot of fun.
Oh, we're the worst. We're the worst.
We're like your attention deficit.
Unfortunately, I'm more like you guys. I like talking more than hitting a gobble.
Go ahead.
What do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about the disaster situation?
I'll tell you what.
House of Pain? What do you want to... You want to talk about John Travolta? Because I was like practicing those moves from 2001. You know, remember the dance club?
Sure, absolutely.
It was 2001 Space Odyssey in Brooklyn. Why don't you pick it, Mooch? You want the guest? Where do you want to start?
So, you know, I saw the Gotti film over the weekend with John. John and John Gotti Jr. invited me to the film. And then yesterday, obviously, he was out there for the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Fever. And so we all grew up with that. And what was so interesting about that time, and my sister sent me a piece from my yearbook. If you were Italian growing up in New York, Tony Manero was the guy. So it's just interesting. We're fast forwarding here 40 years, and it's still a lot of those elements are all in all.
You know, you say if you were Italian, I made this point with Bernie on this show often in our 3 years together. I am Jewish, Sidney Rosenberg. To this day, Anthony, I'm pissed at my parents that I am Jewish, because as a Jewish kid growing up in Brooklyn and going to Poly Prep, I wanted to be Tony Manero.
Yeah, we all did. We all wanted to be him. And by the way, the only problem with Tony Manero, I showed up dressed like Tony Manero at my first Goldman Sachs interview. That didn't go over super well, you know? They were looking at me like, dude, you are 100% polyester, and you're like almost fully flammable. You got to go home and get some real clothes. But it was fine. I mean, I was a little embarrassing, but I figured it out after that.
Well, you know, while we're on the topic, Anthony Scaramucci, of Italian Americans, an Italian American who is held in high regard, who used to be anyway, by the Italian American and by all Americans, is Robert De Niro. But he's been on such a vicious tear lately that I think that's changing. I don't know. How is that for Anthony Scaramucci?
Well, I mean, listen, he's had an incredible acting career, but I think what's happening now is that our civil discourse is coarsening. And so when he goes up there on national TV and says something like that, it's out of bounds. And now their response will be, well, the president's been out of bounds for 2 years and so on and so forth. And so, again, I'm not here to defend the president. There's some things that he does that obviously all of us scratch our heads about. But what we can't do as a society is break out into a verbal civil war. We got to have a little bit more civility. And so when he's doing that, he probably doesn't realize it, but he's turning off even people that are Democrats. He's turning off all the Trump supporters for sure. But like you guys, I try to make the arguments without that bellicosity, because all it does is it causes people to tune out a little bit.
He's not a smart guy. He's not a very brilliant man. He's a stupid fucker, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, not the right call. You know,
no.
So for me, you know, people get upset with me. They may not like my opinion, they may not like my point of view, but at least I'm trying to have a civil conversation with them that's somewhat dispassionate, you know.
Yeah, no question.
Without doing nonsense. Yeah. And also that everyone getting up and cheering.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, get out of the group think and start thinking like individuals. We all know what's appropriate and what isn't appropriate. And by the way, you guys are close to the president, I'm close to the president. I've called balls and strikes on the air, and called balls and strikes with him personally. So, I mean, you know, we know right from wrong, and we should try to stick on the side of good.
But he did know, of course, his audience. Every great performer knows his audience, and the audience at the Tony Awards was going to give Robert De Niro exactly what he got and what you just talked about. Moving away from Robert, though, the big news, the president goes to Singapore on Monday. I personally, Anthony, am really skeptical that this guy's going to follow through. And I'm not even sure exactly what is in the details of this agreement, but I am willing to give Donald Trump a major amount of credit just by sitting down with the guy and making this happen. Again, I have zero confidence that it's all going to come to fruition, but it doesn't matter. With that said, how is it possible that anybody could be criticizing President Trump for this sit down?
Well, I mean, the first thing I'll say, though, is that the world is safer today than it was a year ago with a dial back of that rhetoric and the agreement at least to stop the missile testing and the nuclear testing. And so we'll have to see if it pans out. But I do believe that directionally the world is safer. Secondarily, you know, as we go through the process of Trump derangement syndrome, I mean, I can't even watch Morning Joe anymore. I call it morning eating crow. I mean, these guys are eating crow every morning.
It's killing
them. They're super wickedly upset. They're pedantic. They're sanctimonious. They're talking down to viewers that want policies that promote American working class families and want policies that promote the American middle class. And so, yeah, the president has a unique operating style. He has a very sharp elbow, maybe two sharp elbows, but he is delivering. And if you look at the results of his delivery, lowest African-American unemployment in our history of recording it, lowest Hispanic-American unemployment in our history of recording it. And not to bore you guys, but I am trained as an economist. The U6 number, which is the most aggressive number, is down below 7%, and it was at 18-19% during the crisis. So the president has done a masterful job of putting policies in place, restructuring the tax code, and deregulating in a way where you can unleash economic growth and activity and wages. And so what I cannot figure out is why they can't offer some level of balance to the discussion. So I hear you that there's too simple and not enough granularity to the current agreement with the North Koreans. But it is a start, and this guy is an entrepreneur, and he's an extreme risk taker, as we all know. And I'm very proud of him, and I'm very proud to be an American, that they were sitting there together trying to work on a deal for peace. Because at the end of the day, that's better for our children and our grandchildren.
And nobody works harder than this man, President. Nobody works harder. I mean, he went 25 hours without sleep at least. And look, this is a far cry from the days when they were threatening Guam, firing missiles over Japan. The Hawaiians were running for cover and diving into holes with a lot. I mean, no, this is a new order right now, and he got it done.
Yeah, and by the way, if he can execute it, and I understand the skepticism, but if he can execute it, boy, I'll tell you what, he's going to ride his way into another big win. He'll probably get a landslide, you know, popular vote and electoral vote. But here's the thing, and I said this to Brian Kilmeade the other day, no drinking, no smoking.
Yes.
He's 72 years old on Thursday, and this cat can fly around the world. He can bounce from the G7 meetings over to Singapore. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Singapore, but that is the longest flight in the world. Mm-hmm. That flight, I'm sure they had to refuel Air Force One somewhere over the Pacific to make that flight direct to Washington.
Wow.
And so I just give you a sense for this guy's work ethic and what his capability is and what his skill set is. And also, if you're going to go against him, you got to be a little careful. Mark Stanford, who I respect as a conservative, he lost his primary. You've got something going on in Staten Island now, and I know the president endorsed Donovan. I went with Grimm because Grimm is a personal friend.
So did we.
But Donovan is voting against the president. Okay, but the president, being a good team player, has to side with Kevin McCarthy and the majority in the Senate, and I understand all that. But Donovan has voted against the president, and he voted against him three times.
Yep.
And so, you know, and by the way, you know, people will say, well, Grimm did this, he did that, but you know what? He served his time. Okay, and we are a nation now that has to look at our prison situation and look at the way people are going to prison and we have to redial that and redesign that as well.
We are all in for Grimm as well.
We are in for Grimm. So listen, before we let you run here, Mooch does me a big favor last week. Our buddy Bernard Robert Wall, a.k.a. Arliss on HBO, calls me and says, listen, I need two for the Mets and the Orioles. So I reach out to Mooch, and it took less than an hour, and Mooch has his guy text me back, and in fact got Robert Wall, Arliss, two great tickets for the Met game. But it turns out Robert didn't realize it was an afternoon game against the Orioles. He was taping some commercial, so he didn't take them. But Anthony was still very, he was still very, very nice. You know, offered him the tickets. But now I would have to think, Anthony, that you can't give away these tickets. Who wants them?
Well, that's the thing. I was just going to say that to you guys. I pray every day that the tickets become so tight that the team can actually start winning. But the problem is, once again, it's a combination of players that are too old, past their prime, too many early stage injuries, and then if you can't get your starting pitching into the seventh inning, you're blowing out your bullpen before the All-Star break. So here we are again. I just want to take everybody back before I leave to April, where we won April. I have a participation trophy for the two of you guys, you know, the way those kids win ninth place in soccer. And so at least the Mets won April. And I was counting on the 73% chance that the Mets were going to make the playoffs when they were 10 games over 500 coming out of April. So their chances now of making the playoffs are under 30%. So here we are again, fellas, and I'm very proud to say to your listeners that I have four sons that I am torturing the way you guys have been tortured with the Mets.
Okay? That's right. So it builds character.
No question. They're deep into it. The Yankees will go on to win 27 more championships, and we'll be sitting over here in Queens with a blanket, a bottle, and our thumbs in our mouth.
It really is unbelievable. But listen, before we let you go, tonight it's Appointment TV on the Colbert Show. Anthony Scaramucci will be appearing with Stormy Daniels' lawyer, Michael Avenatti. Wow. How about that at the same time?
How much fun is that, okay? I've been literally on like a slim fast diet for the last 3 days. I'm trying to tighten up a little bit, right?
Well, listen.
The truth of the matter is, I think it'll be an interesting time. And where I said to Michael in the pre-production, let's try to make it civil. We obviously on different points of view, but I think directionally, America wants more civility, wants more discourse, less coarseness.
It ain't gonna be Anthony. That guy is a bad guy. He's Michael Avenatti. To paraphrase Colbert, he is the biggest dick that Stormy Daniels ever seen.
Let me tell you this. I'm prepared for anything, as I have been my entire life. So let's see what happens.
It's going to be great.
I'm excited. I'm excited to go on, and I'm flooding the zone with all the Italians from Manhasset, because I'm telling you right now, it's going to be like a Yankee playing in Fenway Park.
Yeah, kick his ass, man. Come on, we'll be watching.
We're rooting for you.
Flooding the zone with my teammates. All right, but God bless you guys. Have a great day, and we're getting over the hump on Wednesday.
Anthony, good luck tonight. It's going to be great. Once again, as Bernard just mentioned, check it out later on tonight, Anthony Scaramucci on Colbert with Michael Avenatti. We'll take a short break. More right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news.
I'm Juliette Huddy with a little gossipy entertainment news. The New York Daily News, Linda Stassi, not exactly known for her shrinking violet opinion pieces. She certainly didn't hold back on her latest piece, attacking Fox News star. And by the way, full disclosure, I've known this person for like 15 years. She's a friend of mine, and I not only adore her, but I respect the hell out of her. I'm talking about the beautiful and, more importantly, brilliant Kimberly Guilfoyle, who Stassi agrees is one smart cookie. But according to Stassi, not when it comes to Guilfoyle's choice in men or apparently her journalistic integrity. Guilfoyle is reportedly seeing the president's son, Donald Jr., who Stassi repeatedly calls dumb and the Frito Corleone of the Trump boys. The writer says Guilfoyle shouldn't be reporting on the most powerful family in the country while dating one of them. My two cents, she's not reporting, she's hosting, and that's a big difference. Stassi then decides to call on Fox to fire Guilfoyle. And the fact that she did that is not enough. She then goes after the host for going after inappropriate men, mentioning a rumored fling with your previous guest here, Bernie and Sid, Anthony Scaramucci. Stassi writing, quote, if she lived in Boca, she'd be showing up at the widower's house with a casserole before the dead wife was even in the ground. Linda, With all due respect, Kimberly is smart, successful, sassy, sexy, and single, and her dating resume really isn't the public's business. But since we're on the subject, Guilfoyle's ex, as you may or may not know, is former San Francisco mayor, two-term lieutenant governor of California, Gavin Newsom, who just won the Democratic primary for the top job. His November 3rd foe was a guy named John Cox, who was just endorsed by President Trump, which may or may not be a good thing, depending on how you look at it in the blue state of California. His point is...
We like Cox.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, the point is that Gavin Newsom, 6'3", handsome, smart, and has the charisma of the young Bill Clinton, not exactly, in some people's eyes, lousy pickings.
He is a future presidential candidate,
he
without question.
100% is. And he's got the gorgeous wife or girlfriend, I don't know, there's a blonde standing up there, you know, to go along right with him. Yeah, I mean, in California...
Yeah,
somebody who looks like that.
Andrew Cuomo, you don't stand a chance, pal.
Yeah. Yep. All right. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Got to talk this out simply. Mom and Jackie standing right here, pussy hat in hand. I don't have time for this. Knee still giving you trouble, Roseanne? Why don't you get that fixed with the new health care all you suckers got promised? It works good enough to kick your ass, snowflake. There you go. All you people go straight to the violence. Every one of you wrapping yourselves up in the flag and clinging to your guns. Oh, that's such a stereotype.
Roseanne's still in the news, of course. That was Laurie Metcalf, too. She did win a Tony Award on Sunday night. But Roseanne is still in the news. You know, the cast is obviously still very upset. And the cast believes they still have a winning product with or without Roseanne. And Roseanne has felt so badly, she does have a conscience, about what she did, that she has been behind the scenes. A lot of you folks don't know this. She's been behind the scenes trying to get their careers resurrected and get the show back on. Now, the issue becomes, and this comes straight from Whitney Cummings and a bunch of others, if, in fact, they bring back the show sans Roseanne, and base it on a different character, like, let's say, Sarah Gilbert's character, Darlene. Now, they want to make sure that Roseanne Barr does not see one red penny from the new show. If, in fact, Roseanne Barr is willing to accept that, it's her show, her characters, her genius. If she's willing to stay away and not accept one penny from a spinoff that may be about Darlene, then you may see the whole Roseanne cast returned to television pretty soon.
Wow. That's quite the blockbuster. But I've heard that Roseanne is actually considering doing that.
Yeah, she's considering it. She feels really badly about all that. And she's already a multimillionaire.
She's fine.
Now, the question to you is, you know how much I love the show. Jill loves the show. You love the show. I love the show. If Roseanne's not on it, I'm sorry. It doesn't do it for me. So, and I think Sarah Gilbert is funny and Darlene was funny, but are you going to run to see that?
I'll be quite honest with you. I never really watched it, even when Roseanne was on.
Then, well, then, Jill, you were...
I love the show with Roseanne, and I will not watch it
Roseanne.
Without her.
No, you won't watch it.
Nope.
Would you rather they bring back somebody to kind of play her part or do a spinoff on one of the other characters?
Like something like the Everybody Loves Raymond wife. What's her name? Heaton?
Patricia Heaton.
She's a righty from Hollywood. Would that satisfy you? No?
No. I think in time, I think maybe Roseanne can come back.
No, she's not.
No, that ain't happening.
Well, then never I'm not going to watch it.
No.
Nope.
Then you're done. Okay.
It's not going to be the same without
her. I totally agree. I won't watch a spinoff. Listen, I loved Happy Days. I loved it. I didn't watch Joni and Chachi. I did watch Laverne and Shirley and Mork and Mindy, but I didn't watch Joni Loves Chachi.
No, that's not happening. That wasn't happening.
No, so it's not going to happen for me here either. So,
Sorry.
I think many people won't watch it without Roseanne, but we can ask.
We can ask who?
We can ask the listeners if you want.
About what?
Will they watch Roseanne?
Oh, who cares what they want? The listeners. God.
I care. I'm curious.
This goes back to, what was that stupid exercise we did a couple of weeks ago?
Oh.
The yin and the yang of the...
Right. Yarny.
What are you hearing? You're hearing douchebag or
yarny
anus?
Yarny and Laurel.
Right.
What
is it? I really care what the listeners feel about Roseanne. I don't care.
You don't? Bernie,
no.
Do you?
Not really.
I don't really care, to be honest.
Aren't you curious?
What listeners think about most things. I just... But we bring them on because we like them. And they're kind of the heart of the show, but and every once in a while they're funny, but I don't care what they think.
I mean, if I thought it was some sort of a hot button type topic, I'd say, yeah, let's go for it.
Come on.
But,
right.
I don't think it's.
And they can tell me, I was on with Bernie and Sid today. And
I said, Roseanne's going to be awful without
Roseanne, yeah. Well, I tried to call Boomer, but he was talking about Michael Conforto. Then I tried to call Len Berman, but
you know,
I think he died.
Well, you know what you can look forward to, I think?
What's that?
Is Roseanne's ire getting up and some backlash on her part, and she starts to lash out.
Yeah.
Because
she started to a little, but now she's working on getting her friends back on the air.
But the way that they're so vociferous, for example, the aforementioned Whitney Cummings or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's thinking, look, I gave you all you guys a shot. I know Whitney Cummings was a Johnny-come-lately.
Right, right.
A Joni-come-lately, right. If you will.
But certainly Michael Fishman. I mean, Sarah Gilbert, who plays Darlene, she's on that show, The Talk.
Yeah, but
right, Michael right. Fishman, what the hell has he done? He killed her.
Exactly. And once all the dust settles, she'll start to turn on them. I think she'll get angry.
Yeah.
Unless she does something horrible to herself.
She may even call Valerie Jarrett something worse.
She
thought that was bad? How about this, bitches?
I don't think she'll do that.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, she's not crazy?
I think she's contrite.
She's one Ambien pill away.
No, I think she'll attack the people who are kicking her while she's down.
Ah.
The people that she gave.
Yes.
She gave him life, a career.
That's right.
I think that we can look forward to.
All right. That'll be
fun. If there's a silver lining to it, we can look forward to that.
Right.
I hope.
All right. That'll be fun. We'll take a short break. 1-800-848-WABC. Mike Vaccaro talking Met baseball and golf and lots more. Back right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Germany obviously the favorites going in because they won the 2014 World Cup in Brazil when they trashed Brazil, by the way, 7-1. Germany's backbone is Bayern Munich. It's Boateng. It's Hummels. It's Müller. To me, the big thing for Jogi Löw, which has been an incredible coach with this team of Germany, is who is their number 9? They got 3 good options right now, and it's very important for him to add that number 9 that can allow him to get some goals, because the support cast for Germany is unbelievable.
There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
Michael, is this what the World Cup's going to turn into, like a big kumbaya deal?
Well, it kind of is.
I mean, it's
you've got some countries out there that we don't always get along with. I mean, Iran right off the bat, right?
Yeah.
You have Russia playing Saudi Arabia. I mean, can both teams lose? I mean, is that a possibility?
Who do you root for there?
That's what I'm saying.
Or Germany, too. So, yeah, this is the moment in time where the world, kind of like the Olympics. The Olympics is kind of the same thing, you know, where countries that spend a lot of time bickering and there's some legitimate dislike, if not hate, amongst the people, they put it aside for the Olympics, and they're putting it aside for soccer, which starts tomorrow morning in Russia.
Do I have to put it aside?
No, you don't.
I guess it's my question.
No, I don't care.
Apparently, the United States, Canada, and Mexico has won the rights to host the World Cup in 2026.
Oh, please. It's 8 years from now.
Yeah.
I don't know, really. I'm worried about this weekend. What the hell I'm doing then? When is Friday here?
And the United States, by the way, they're not even in this event. So hard for me to get excited about the future of the United States hosting anything. I mean, could you imagine if we have the World Cup here in 8 years, and once again, we don't even participate?
Now, let me ask you this. This will test your knowledge of soccer, and you seem to be somewhat into this World Cup this year.
Somewhat, right.
I guess maybe it's your the waiters up in your new Upper West Side neighborhood?
Yes, a lot of those guys.
Getting you all jacked up?
Well, I don't know. A lot of them were West Indians, you know, Jamaica. And although Trinidad and Tobago did beat us. That was a team that beat us.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's why the United States is not in this. But hey, what's the question?
The question is this.
Yeah.
Is the United States ladies team, did they make the World
Cup? Oh, I have no idea. That's not playing right now.
I think it's...
That's not playing right now.
They don't play in the World Cup?
No, not right now. Right now, it's just the men. I'm not sure when the women play. We're usually very, very good, but I don't believe the women are playing right now. It's just the men.
Okay, Matt.
They may play at a later date.
I believe... I think it might be like, you know, how they do the Summer and Winter Olympics. It's like every 2 years, right? So I think it might be the same thing with women's FIFA. World Cup thing.
Where well, our women are very good always.
FIFA. Women are, yeah.
That's FIFA. Why they call it FIFA.
You
that's
say
another.
FIFA, and I call FIFA.
I call it FIFA because of the video game. You know, people are crazy about this stuff. So.
Well, Adam comes in yesterday, our TI guy here.
IT. Who's a
IT guy. New York guy, Upper West Side. Yeah, see how much I know. And he starts.
Everybody turn to the West.
He starts naming players. I mean, that's unbelievable to me when you start naming players.
Oh, yeah, he's a total Europhile, this Adam, and people like him. So we're talking, you know, people out there who are like this, our friend Adam here.
Yeah.
Complete Europhiles. They wear those types of jerseys with the stripes and stuff like that.
Stupid.
Well, they got all the sponsorships plastered all over them.
Yes. Such those annoying bikers. Pete Morgan, our dear friend from Pure Sports, the great Pete Morgan, says that he believes the host country is automatically in. So at least we know we're going to play in 8 years if he's right.
Oh, we don't have to try.
That's there one you go.
That's what. Hey, come to my house so I can play.
Right. If he's right, that's kind of lame. But yeah, I know there's a lot of guys. I see him walking around up there. They're wearing these Mexico jerseys, Spain jerseys, and they're not Mexican or Spanish. They're guys that look like Adam.
Exactly. Hipster yeah. types who...
You don't even get me started. Yes.
Oh, they go crazy. Brooklyn on Sunday and Saturday mornings, they go nuts, right?
8 o'clock in the morning, these people, they're opening up bars for them just to watch these dance.
Here's the
ridiculous
thing with these people.
They're blowing the vuvuzela.
The vuvuzelas.
Whatever the hell. The vulva. The vuvuzela.
I
tweeted this yesterday. I don't care if you like the sports that I like. I happen to like every sport. I love baseball, football, basketball, hockey, boxing, golf. I watch all of it. I love it.
Mixed martial arts.
I don't love that. You found one. But I don't care if you like what I like or not. For some reason, soccer fans, more than, and to a certain extent, you guys too, UFC, they get so angry if you don't like, what do you mean? Boxing is boring. Boxing is dead. This is great. But soccer fans are the absolute worst. And we talked about this a couple of days ago. And I got it again yesterday on Twitter. You just don't get it. They talk about these subtle... They call the game beautiful. What the hell is beautiful about a bunch of guys kicking a ball up and down a grass field? What is beautiful?
And rarely getting it into the net.
Oh, well, somebody... Who was it? Lewis Reed? Somebody telling me yesterday... Mike Saunders, former trainer of the New York Knicks. Love that guy. Love him to death, lives now in Delray, listens to us every day
but
on the computer. Says, you don't got to score for it to be exciting. I go, Mike, sometimes when they score, it's not exciting, to be honest. I mean, I just don't, it's beautiful. You don't get the subtle.
And they're right, we don't get it.
No.
Because they don't exist. They stand in the middle of the field for like 45 minutes.
I'm of the mindset always that I might be wrong, that I'm missing something, that they may be right. That if they like it and they say there's something there, that's fine. God bless. I don't see it. I see nothing but...
It's not fine. I'm not going to tell you football is beautiful, basketball is ballet. It's a sport. It's a competition. I've watched soccer over... I covered it for years. I used to have Tony Meola on every single week, Lexi Lawless, every single week. I tried, Bernie, between MLS. I get into the World Cup. I do. That last team with Tim Howard and all those guys. So I have tried time and time again. These adjectives that these fans use, way over the top. Way over the top.
I believe that. I agree with that. I think that. Let me put it that way. That's my position. But it is the most popular sport on the globe.
Oh, please.
So maybe.
What does that mean?
These countries that love that sport are still beheading people on video. Unlike you, I always leave open the possibility that I might be wrong.
No, I don't.
I know that.
I don't care if it's popular.
I've come to find that out.
I don't care if it's popular. Popularity doesn't equal. Listen, it's like. Let me tell you something. Boomer gets better ratings than us. He's more popular. Does he do a better show?
But a word of advice.
Yeah.
Leave open a sliver of a possibility that you might be wrong on something.
I've tried. If I never watched
it. Forget soccer. I'm just as a general rule.
No.
That's all I would say. It would make your life a lot easier.
No, it wouldn't. Makes it boring.
I think so.
It's too wishy-washy. Makes it boring. I've given the sport a chance. I've tried. And the fact that countries love it,
I gave it a shot.
You know, Iran loves it. They kill people in the streets.
I understand.
ISIS has a soccer team.
I'll cut you in half.
Iranian people, they're for the most part, they're good people. Oh, they're run by a bunch of nut jobs.
The country is what it is. Let's stop, okay? I'm sure
stop
they're
what?
Great. The country is what it is.
Yeah, but you can't. I've said this a million times. The people themselves are way more progressive, not in a political sense in the United States, progressive than their government.
I understand. And they'd like it to be more like the United States. They're in a tough spot.
Yes.
But it is what it is. And these countries that love soccer, I mean, they have fights in the stands. People die. People die, Bernie.
Believe me, I know. I see it. That's what I'm saying. They're passionate about it, so they see something that we're missing, that we may be missing.
Wait.
I'm leaving open the possibility. I don't see it. I can't even fathom what it might be.
Are you equating somebody killing somebody at a soccer game to passion?
Yes. Absolutely right.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
That was funny, I gotta say.
Soccer. True that.
They get so mad.
They do.
What is this guy's name again? Meanie.
Remember? I have no idea.
No
the
idea.
Flipper got it.
Doesn't matter. No. Anyway, we are talking soccer. Tomorrow the World Cup gets going. Russia will take on Saudi Arabia. No United States. Mike Vaccaro, New York Post, will join us in about 30 minutes. Another Met debacle last night. And the big golf U.S. Open gets ready. Shinnecock tomorrow morning. So a lot of sports going on. But and a lot of New York Post guys. We had Phil Mushnick earlier. Mike Vaccaro coming up later. Today is our good friend Andrew Marchand's 44th birthday. Happy birthday to Drew. But we'll do some soccer here. We're offering you guys a chance to actually come on the Bernie and Sid show. We are neither one of us, me or Bernie, are big soccer fans. Neither one of us. And we're both very upset the United States is not in this. We lost to Trinidad and Tobago. No Ireland, no Italy. So don't we have a team to root for necessarily. He's not going to root for the English because he's a member of the IRA.
Can't do it.
And I'm not going to root for the Germans because I'm Jewish. So anyway, well, we want to find as many people to represent these 32 countries, 8 groups of 4, which again gets going tomorrow morning, Russia hosting Saudi Arabia. We want to find as many folks in New York City. I know that you guys go nuts. Every bar on the east side is packed, the Village, Chelsea, right?
It's inexplicable, but true.
You're out there with your Ronaldo jerseys and your Zinedans and your Maradonas, whatever the hell you wear.
Your striped shirts and your tight shorts. We know who you are.
We know exactly who you are. And it doesn't matter whether it's Senegal or Iran, you're going to be out there. So what we want is we want one representative. We want a real Iranian. There's a million folks from Tehran who live here in the United States who are going to be rooting for Iran. We want one of you to come here, put the jersey on, so we know it's for real, the Iran soccer jersey. It'll be an interview, a photo op, and you could turn out to be the correspondent for the Bernie and Sid show.
Yes. I get you. Say Iran, Iceland, Egypt, a lot of Egyptians, Moroccans in this town.
Yes.
And if you're just a hipster who's a Europhile.
That's fine.
That's okay, too.
Right.
Listen, we'll mock you maybe, but.
Maybe beat your ass.
That could happen.
Right. You run the risk if you get in here, if you're wearing like an England jersey. And you start getting mouthy, Bernie may kick your ass because he's mad about all those, you know.
I'll give you some British teeth in an instant.
So you got to call Jill, 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you're interested in coming down, representing your country, make the phone call and talk to Jill. And you may even get a hand job.
Who knows?
You can't never tell. Matt Meany's all over.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, that guy, the announcer, Andres Cantor.
That's right.
How'd you know that?
Because I just Googled it.
Oh, okay, damn.
That's the guy, yeah. He goes, go.
Play it again, Meany. Let's hear it. Here it is.
Mira el centro, clave, gol.
Sounds an awful lot like Vic about 9 o'clock last night. Oh, here's Wilfredo. He's in Newark, New Jersey today on line two. Good morning, Wilfredo.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love you guys.
We love you.
You're the man.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on Cuomo's comment last week about the Republicans.
Yeah.
Right away, he went into the Democratic playbook of division. He said... Puerto Ricans look different. I want him to explain that. What does that mean? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, I would say more muscular, tanner, looking.
It's what's called race baiting, Wilfredo.
Of course.
That's what he's engaged in, as you know. And it's all really insidious, nasty politics is what it is.
He's pandering. An idiot.
He's a dunce and a dope and a moron, and he's never going to be president, so just shut up and enjoy being governor for the next 4 years. And that's all you're ever going to get in your life.
Now, with that said, Wilfredo, many of my Puerto Rican friends, many of them, especially down in South Florida, they love soccer. Love it.
I do, too.
You do?
I used to play football. I even played Division III football. But I got to say, the Dutch coach, with this video went viral. He said, American football is stupid. And I got to tell you, I kind of agree with him in a way, because think about all the injuries that the players are getting. I will not let my child play American football.
Right.
And
no, that's true.
You're in way better shape. Yeah. You're getting way better shape when you play soccer.
Yeah.
When you're playing. And to me... it's just a superior sport.
Okay,
fair enough.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that.
Hey, let's go to Dante from the Bronx, Sydney. Dante, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you, Dante.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you, pal?
Fine.
Hey, by the way, where are you in the Bronx today?
I'm in the Country Club.
Country Club. This is for you guys, for you, Bernie.
That's up in the Pelham Bay section.
I know exactly where it is. Today, on Arthur Avenue,
yes,
there is a bakery. I believe it's called Madonna Bakery.
Madonia,
very good. They are celebrating 100 years. 100 years Madonia Bakery on Arthur Avenue. So if you go down there today, you may get yourself like a free Napoleon or something. I don't know.
Well, tell Bernie that Pete Madonia is a good friend of mine, and he has a house in Long Beach, and we go to the beach on Sundays.
How about that?
No kidding. How do you like that? Is a well, quite the coincidence.
Madonia Bakery, 100 years?
Well, I'm the guy you see running down the beach, all cut up. And hey, Dante, you know, one thing, speaking of Arthur Avenue and Madonia, whatever, this guy, Anthony Bourdain, he passed away. You know, I love the show. And he once did a show on the Bronx, and he's a chef, and he didn't even cover Arthur Avenue whatsoever.
Is that right?
Never went to Arthur Avenue. How could you do,
weird.
A show on cooking in the Bronx and you don't go to Arthur Avenue?
Yeah, I agree. That's weird.
Andrew Zimmer did, though.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
So anyway, you're gonna do this soccer thing, Dante, with us?
Yeah, I'm upset. You know, Italy's in mourning because this is like the first time in 80 years that Italy didn't make the World Cup.
Right.
Yeah, but I wanna convince Sid that I'm a great Mets fan. I love all kinds of sports.
Right.
But you never could get a more boring day than when two pitchers are pitching a great game.
Dante, I've heard that from soccer fans for years. You love baseball when it's 0-0. You're never going to convince me. I would much rather watch a Met Astros 0-0 game than any 0-0 soccer game. So listen, I'm not going to try to convince you, Dante, that baseball is better or football is better. If you enjoy soccer, there's obviously something wrong with you. But that's fine. That's okay.
It's all right. It's okay. But I'm saying, to each his own. I love that.
Exactly. And you know, thank you again, Dante. But it is true that people will say to me all the time, oh, you watch baseball. Nothing's more boring than 0-0 in the eighth inning. And that may be true, just not for me.
Joe from Syosset, Long Island. Joe, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
How you doing, Joe?
Always good on hump day, my brother.
Amen. some of these countries are such savages with soccer because I think a goalie let up a game-winning goal one time, and I think they murdered him like a couple days later.
Oh, not just once. What, are you kidding me?
You got to admire the passion.
Right? Happens all the time. Not just once.
It's a good thing we're not that passionate about baseball because half the Mets would be dead by now.
It wouldn't be a bad idea, though. Yeah, right. Really?
I feel that way.
Thank you, Joe. But he's right. They're, you know, hockey was like that with the Russians. Guys would disappear to Siberia.
Bruce couldn't throw out Tanaka from a shallow sack fly pop. And it would have been great to see the fans storm the field and just rip him limb from limb at that point. Oh, man. Dan from Long Island, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you.
Good morning, boys. How's everything today?
Good, Dan.
Could be worse.
Listen, morning is... America, U.S. Steel just announced they're rehiring 800 steel workers. Keep going, Trump.
How do you like that?
I grew up playing soccer. It's a wonderful sport for the kids. It's not a bad sport to play, but it comes across horrible on television. It's a terrible sport to watch on TV. It's very boring, and only a Met game has less offense than a soccer game.
Right.
I don't have to apologize for not liking soccer. And I don't care that more people in the world watch soccer because there's more people in the world. They all add up. I don't care that England kills each other. It doesn't matter to me. I'm an American. It's not my native culture. It's fine. Watch your soccer. Go out at 8 o'clock in the morning to the bars. Wave your flags. By the way, when I get a problem. Like, if the United States win the final against Italy, I know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for the United States. So what are all these other people in this country that when the United States team is not in for it, is not rooting for our team?
Well, I do that. I root for Israel over the United States, which really aggravates Mike Francesa.
I think I would root for Ireland myself, to be quite honest with you, Dan.
But your point, Dan, is, well, you know, they thank you, Dan. They look down on you. Like JT the Brick, for example, is one of the most popular, successful syndicated sports talk show host in the country. He was on with us again just last week. And he saw my tweet on soccer. He goes, don't you understand it's the most popular sport? I don't care. I don't judge what I like or dislike, by the way.
No, understood.
I don't care.
Nor should you.
It doesn't mean it's good. Again, I go back to ratings. There are television shows and radio shows that get great ratings, and they're terrible. There are shows that get no ratings, and they're great.
Well, let me again play devil's advocate. Just because you don't enjoy it doesn't mean you have to trash it and say it's boring and it's awful.
That's how I feel, though. I don't get it. That's how I feel.
Just say, like, I don't get it, and move on. You don't have to trash it and the people who enjoy it.
No, you
have
to
take pleasure from it.
Absolutely have to.
Why do you say
it's no different than you trashing Robert De Niro? Because Robert De Niro says F Donald Trump. Same thing. Right. If I say to a soccer fan,
Bad analogy.
No, it's the same exact.
No.
If I go to a soccer fan, sorry, buddy, I don't like your sport, and the guy starts to talk about my intelligence, I don't get it.
Well, that's different. That's different.
It's the same thing. It gets personal. It gets personal.
Absent somebody insulting you first. There's no reason
for you. Soccer band does that all the time. All the time.
Okay, John from New Jersey, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you.
Hey, so I've said to many of my English friends, I've been spectacular athletes, soccer players, but they have the world's worst team rule, which is what I affectionately call the fat fart rule, the offsides rule in soccer. It means nothing can happen. It's much easier.
Are you talking about rules in soccer?
Well, yes. That, in other words, in soccer, something interesting is about to happen, but a defender runs 5 yards forward and creates an offsides pass.
You don't have to get up. Rob is in Tom's River. Oh, my God. On line four. Good morning, Rob.
Hey, how are you doing? You know what?
We started.
When you were on WFAN a couple years ago, I called you the last day of the World Cup final. I said, I says, nobody is going to call up on WFAN or any other sports radio show and talk about soccer until the World Cup starts 4 years later. And here you are talking about it. So this is ironic.
Well, because the World Cup we're going to pay attention to.
I mean, but my opinion about soccer is you never talk about it. If you are on sports radio, nobody calls up and talks even on WFAN about Red Bull soccer.
Why should they? It's brutal.
Because, I agree with you because it's just one of those things. Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, but you got to pay attention to the World Cup. That's the whole world is getting involved. It's a big deal. I guess.
I'm kind of confused.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who's a good soccer commentator? It's this guy named Tommy Smith.
Oh, he's good.
The Irish guy.
Very good.
He's the one who said, listen to this clip here.
Yeah, and it was very noticeable. I mean, you could see it without even counting passes. You could notice that he just didn't have that. He didn't have that little bit of jizz in him today.
Tommy Smith. Maybe we'll get him on to talk some soccer. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. If you want to come in and wear a jersey for your team, give us a call.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
The Brits, don't yell at me, Sid. Even their insults sound charming. That is certainly the case with Tony winner Andrew Garfield, who was approached by an overeager mom at dinner the other night here in New York City. She wanted him to record a shout out to her sick son.
Hi, Ian. You have a very sweet mother who doesn't mind crossing boundaries over lunch tables.
The subtly sassy message continued sweetly.
I hear you're sick, and I hear you didn't get to go out last night. Get better. Sending love. This is Andrew Garfield, by the way.
Yeah, we know you were the 72nd annual Tony Award winner for leading actor in a play, Angels in America. And I know a lot of you could hardly sleep last night after the news that John Schneider was going to jail. The Dukes of Hazzard star was ordered to spend 3 days in L.A. County lockup starting yesterday for failing to pay spousal support. Well, sleep well tonight, kids. He's out. The 58-year-old was released after about 5 hours for good behavior. That and the jail was overcrowded. And by the way, people, you can get a free Doritos Loco Taco at Taco Bell today. And you can thank the Golden State Warriors. The Bell promised a free taco for everyone if a road team beat a home team during the series.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you don't even have to buy anything. You just walk in there and snag one. I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
Yeah, JT, big day, Lenny's Pizza. Thank you, Juliet. Yesterday, Mike Vaccaro, New York Post, will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll do some Mets and do some golf. You were going to say something to me, Bernie, but save it because I think line three is going to lead you right into
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So let's go to Marco in the Bronx. Marco, you're on with Bernie and Sid. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Good morning. Fredo, you broke my heart. I can't believe you broke. You're rooting against the United States. How could that be?
Well, listen, my parents happen to be from Ireland, so I'm a first-generation... Hold on a second, Marco. You're asking me how, and I'm telling you. So I'm Irish, and if the United States is playing Ireland, well, I will consider rooting for Ireland. I don't see why that's not rational.
All right, Marco, thank you. But let me play devil's advocate, okay? Because I actually said I'd root for Israel, too. But you don't live in Dublin, you live in Long Island.
I know that. But the general tendency, the inclination, it's just a natural inclination, is to root for the people that you are, right? For example, I mean, I'm not expressing it properly, but I'm Irish, so I want the Irish people to win.
You're American.
I am American. It's a unique situation. It's very unique.
If America is playing Ireland.
I am also an Irish citizen I am an Irish citizen. Just first generation Irish people are automatically Irish citizens. I'm an Irish citizen and an American citizen.
What are you getting mad about, Jay?
Because if the United States is in anything, you root for the United States, no matter what the hyphen is.
I usually do.
Sometimes I'll even rise above that, and I'll take this mentality. Believe this or not, United States, we're a very wealthy country.
Yes.
And all the players grew up nice, wonderful. So if we're playing a country like, say, I don't know, Liberia, they grew up in huts and, they basically had no shoes.
Right.
Sometimes if they beat the United States, it doesn't break my heart.
That's crazy. See, I understand. You're from there.
I know. And it goes against the whole America first.
Right. Exactly.
I understand that. It's counterintuitive to my instincts, but I see these poor bastards out there running around.
Oh God,
skinny.
Whatever. Who cares?
Aww, that's very liberal of you. It's sweet.
I think that.
I never think that.
The Americans will go home.
Nah, I never think that.
They go to the nice big fat car, a wonderful house, with three bathrooms.
It is what it is.
And these guys have to go back to living in a thatched.
Well, they can make get a decent education in one of these lousy countries or come here.
It's you can't. That's the problem. The country.
Well, not anymore because our new guy won't let them in.
They're so impoverished.
Go to the next country.
No, listen, I want to see everybody do well. But I would say that my heart sometimes goes out for people like that.
Yeah.
When they're playing, say, the United States, certainly if they're playing...
This is the craziest thing I've ever heard
if they're playing European teams...
If the United States is playing Israel, who are you going to support?
Well, that's different.
How is that different?
Yeah,
hold
on. Yeah, there's a personal attachment for Bernie to Ireland. There's a personal attachment for me for Israel. But some poverty-stricken country, I don't feel bad, but these people... I want the United States to beat them 100-1.
But
Israel has a place in my heart.
Oh, but who would you pick?
Israel!
If Sweden is playing Ethiopia, for example, I'll root for the Ethiopians.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't put it on. I know, but I'm just saying hypothetically.
I understand.
So that's
fine.
I'm going Israel.
That's
my mindset. You take the Jews out of this country, you got nothing.
Nothing.
Excuse me. What?
Well, that's true.
Oh,
you got nothing.
Hollywood's done.
You're not helping.
Banking is done.
You're
not helping your case when you make a proclamation like that.
No, because I give more ammunition to the idiots who kill the Jews every day.
Patricia from New Jersey, you're on the Bernie and Sid show. Good morning to you, Patricia.
Hey, Bernie and Sid, great show. You want to piss off the left and get free publicity? You should support the Russian team. That'll be great collusion.
We've already been accused of that on Twitter. They've already said Bernie and Sid must be rooting for Russia.
That's why you have to support Russia.
All right. We'll do that.
Yes.
They are the host country, and they've got the first game tomorrow morning against Saudi Arabia. We can dive right in.
You know, that's a tough one, though. Who do you root for? I mean, the Russians, to me...
Russia versus Saudi Arabia.
The Russians are like... They're very, very primitive. They're savage-like people.
But the Russians had come here, nail places and massage places
they're like very boorish and the soul is dead-eyed.
The Saudi Arabians are
no, that's what I'm saying. I'm giving you one side.
I'm taking the Russians over the Saudi Arabians.
I don't know. I guess maybe because they hate us.
I take most people over the Muslims. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, well, when you look at it that way. Osama bin Laden. Hey, John from Queens. John, you're on the Bernie and Sid show. Good morning to you, John.
Hey, Bernie, how are you?
I could be worse, John. How the hell are you?
So listen, both of my parents are from Ireland, right?
Right, right, right.
And, you know, growing up in Woodside, Queens, everybody's parents were from Ireland back then, right?
Sure.
So basically, if you're an American... Right, and your parents are Irish, and you're rooting for Ireland over America, that makes you a donkey.
That makes me a what?
Jackass.
A donkey.
Oh, I see.
He knows what I'm talking about.
Let me tell you, John, I when I was a kid, my parents are from Ireland as well. I didn't join the Irish Army. I joined the United States Marine Corps when I was a teenager.
Thank you.
So, I mean...
Don't worry about his patriotism,
patriotism is fine. I'm all about America first.
That's right.
This is a game. So if I see a couple of teams playing and I see the green on one, you know, forgive me if I may root for them over the American people.
Don't apologize to me. I'm fine with it.
No.
I'm talking to John.
This man had 18 kills in Vietnam.
And I didn't even spend 2 months in the freaking Marine Corps, but I did join.
That's all that matters.
I wanted to go.
You have a flag outside your house?
I wanted to kill people.
You have a flag outside your house?
No. Yeah, I have one in the window, though.
That's all you got.
Okay,
have.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you, Mr. Israel, on the Bernie and Sid show. We're coming right back with Mike Vaccaro from the New York Post.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning, making mischief happen every morning.
Bernie and Sid, why are you listening to them? I have no idea.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC and streaming on WABCradio.com.
We'll move Mike Vaccaro tomorrow. We've got a great show tomorrow. Peter Jacobson, who was a pretty good golfer. He's a wonderful golf analyst. He's live out at Shinnecock tomorrow. So we'll get you all caught up on all the big doings on the golf, U.S. Open, the big threesome. You got Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, and Tiger Woods all going out together tomorrow. That's an amazing trio. So we'll talk to Jacobson about that. We'll bring on Vaccaro as well. He'll do Mets and he'll do golf and a bunch of things. Somebody else is out tomorrow pretty good, right, Jill?
Yes.
Who was it? Somebody big. I know Nancy Grace is Friday.
She doesn't remember.
Billy Bob Thornton. Kevin Costner?
He's Friday. Bernie Kerik.
Oh, Bernie Kerik.
Bernard.
So, Big Show, but we want to continue with the soccer thing. Bernie says, hey, Ireland plays the United States. I may root for Ireland. I said the same thing about Israel. And we've both been taken to task. Here's Guillermo from Hackensack on line 4. Hello, sir.
Hey. Hey, guys. Big fan. Love your show. How you doing?
Thanks, Willie. How you doing, brother?
Doing good. I feel the same way. I mean, I'm first generation here. My parents and my family's many generations are from Argentina. And I was the first on both sides of my family to be born here. But, you know, I guess I grew up with Argentinian soccer, and my grandfather played on the national team, so it's a little more to my heart as far as that goes. But, I mean, I would never live there, but I love the country, but there's no better country in the world than this country, and I'm proud to be from the United States.
Hey, now!
So, yeah.
Yeah, man.
You know.
But this is
the place to be, that's it.
But still,
go ahead.
But you would still root for Argentina in the World Cup if it came down to it, right?
Well, against the United States?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very conflicted, but yeah, I don't know why. You know,
you're thinking about it, at least it's not. And by the way, all I said was I would think about it. Did you make a concrete statement?
Come on, now, you said you would support. You said before I mentioned Ireland, I'd support Israel.
I'm kind of joking, but.
Jim from the car in New Jersey, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you, Jimbo.
How you doing? Good morning.
Hey.
Good, how are you, Jim?
Aaron Gobra.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I was born in the Bronx. My father was from the other side. I'm considered a Greek citizen the way you're considered an Irish citizen. And I would root for Greece any day over the U.S.
How about that?
There you go.
Nationalism. That's nothing wrong with that?
That's fine, right? Because that's who you are. That's who Jim is. He's Greek.
I got no issue with it.
He's a Greek citizen. I'm an Irish citizen. I have dual citizenship, so I'm entitled.
I wouldn't be mad. I don't think of you as any less of an American.
I voluntarily joined the Marine Corps when I was 18, lasted less than 2 months, but I still joined.
You still joined?
I wanted to go. I wanted to kill me some MFers.
And what happened? You got scared. You got scared.
Just waking up at 4 o'clock.
Oh, come on.
These guys screaming at you. Give me a break. Let me out of here.
Now you're up at 4 o'clock here on the screen.
Right, screaming at other people. Michael is in Queens. Hi, Mike.
What are you saying, everybody? Good morning. How you doing on the show there?
Is that your Christopher Mad Dog Russo?
No, what are you talking about? Hey, listen, I got a great idea. Why don't you guys have the Yankees play the Russians in the World Cup? Then we could talk about it for all day on the show with my partner, who's retired, but he works 5 days a week.
All right, thank you, Mike.
That's
that was a good line. My partner who retired but works 5 days a week, but that was a terrible impression.
Awful. God awful.
Another real good joke. Yeah.
That's a good Francesa impression right there. I don't know who does that, but
that's Francesa.
Oh, no wonder it sounds so good.
Tom from Durham, North Carolina. You're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning, Tom.
Freaking Bernie and Sid. How about this, man? I've lived in New York, grew up there. And I remember 94. I'm just going to comment on how much soccer sucks, but how I got sucked in. So it's the World Cup in 94, right?
Yep.
So I watched one of these freaking games. And I'm like, how do people watch this crap? This is horrible. But then I watched another one. I'm like, you know, this is actually kind of interesting. There's a lot going on out there. And then by the third game, I'm like cheering.
And you want to go out and buy a Vuvuzela or whatever that is.
No, but then again, the first game, you were about two drinks in. By the third game, you finished the whole bottle. So quite frankly, no matter what you were doing at that point, it was going to be great.
And that's why you're enjoying us right now. Because
that's right.
You finished the third.
You're hammered.
Michael from Homedale, New Jersey. You're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning, Michael.
You two got some goddamn nerve, you Heeb and you Irish fucking pig.
That's us.
That's what you are.
Yes,
thank you, Michael.
Thank you, sir.
You are a schmuck, Michael.
Thank you.
You got it. You got it. Tony from Connecticut, the same thing. Tony, good morning to you.
Yeah, there's no way you pick another team over America. Come on.
We can do whatever the hell we want. That's why. That's the beauty of being in America.
Hey, you could.
Right.
There's no question about that. But no way. Come on, guys.
Come on. This is purely a hypothetical, by the way, Tony and Michael and the rest of you guys, because our great country We didn't even make it. We couldn't even beat Trinidad and Tobago. Calm down with the pride and the flag. Nobody's more patriotic than me and Bernie.
Nobody.
We had the effing president of the United States call our show. Please.
This country is so far and away the best country in the world that we can afford to say things like, yeah, we'll root for the country that our parents came from
right.
against the United States.
Well, my grandparents came from Russia. I couldn't root for Russia over the United States.
You have a different circumstance.
Germany, too.
You guys have a different circumstance.
Right, of course. Yeah.
But me?
Who cares?
I know, relax.
But who cares? It's a stupid soccer game. Like, who gets... I mean, I did get fired up at the Olympics in 1980 when we beat the Russians in hockey. I did. I got crazy. But, I mean, I don't
very,
find...
Very, very boring.
Yes, Donald.
And speaking of which...
That wasn't boring. That was great.
Even in the Olympics, if I see the Irish team, I'll root for the Irish team.
I purposely root for other guys.
No,
you got to pick. No, them. I root for everybody else in the what do you call that thing with the where the tights?
The shot put?
That's right. That's right.
Like gymnastics? Sure. Or?
They're fine.
Antonio from Texas. You're on the Bernie and Sid. Good morning, Antonio.
Good morning, Sid and Bernie. Big fan down here in the South.
Hey, we love you.
I just wanted to say that soccer, I get how a lot of people are not into soccer. That's understandable. There's no high scoring or anything like that. But it's the only sport where, like, a poor-ass country versus, like, the most powerful country in the world or, you know, industrialized country can actually play a sport and that poor-ass country can actually beat it. So
no, you're right, but that's
my point.
But you're right, but that's why it's so popular is because it doesn't take any – you need one big grassy field. That's all you need. There's no real equipment. You got to buy a ball. So this whole idea that it's popular because it's great is nonsense. It's popular because a lot of these countries can't afford to buy equipment for these other sports, and they just start playing soccer.
Last one, Paul from Queens. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, guys, soccer, you have to live. It all depends on how you get to that. And it's not because you don't need any equipment, and it's just a ball, and you start playing. There's a reason why. There's rooting interest. I mean, some of these teams, it's like a religion. It's not, it's very different. Than
it's all they've got.
Still.
A lot of these countries, Paul, it's
That's
all they've got.
That's not true. That's not true.
No.
That is very not true.
That's not true. Not true.
You know, a lot of European countries are very good at basketball. We have European players here in America.
Basketball came around a lot later. And I will tell you that some of these American basketball players are more popular in Europe than a lot of these soccer players are now.
Anyway, thanks for the call, Paul. Listen, the Heeb and the Mick are going to sign off for the day now. But
yeah, I'm going to go to shul, hang out with a bunch of Jews.
I'm going to go to the what do you call Clancy's?
Let's go to the bar.
What's the name of the joint down the block?
Any bar.
Stout.
McSorley. No.
Barney Rock.
Barney Rock.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to go to the Barney Rock.
Yeah.
Suck down a few.
The Heeb and the Mick.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Boy!
77 WABC and streaming at WABCradio.com.